All right. Good morning, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Wednesday morning. We are not doing Wild Card Wednesday this morning because we've got our Halloween Spooktacular. And I'm going to pick all the scary music to play between breaks and news and all that stuff. So no Wild Card Wednesday this morning because of our Halloween Spooktacular. And we'll kick that off after the 1:30 news, and then we'll do everything scary and Halloween-related. We'll talk about scary movies and TV and books. We'll hear some scenes from scary movies and play some scary music and, of course, scary sounds. And the whole thing kicks off after the 1:30 news with a visit from my future ex-wife, the lovely, the wonderful Dana DiLorenzo, star of Ash vs. Evil Dead. That's how our, I can't think of a better way to kick off the Halloween Spooktacular than with Dana. So that's all coming up. We'll kick that off at 1:30. But before we do that, tomorrow is November 1st, and that means Movember will begin. Check out Movember.com. Beginning tomorrow, people from around the world are going to go clean shaven and grow a mustache, and only a mustache, for a month to raise funds and awareness for men's health. This will be, I believe, my 8th year doing this. I'm going to shave completely clean tomorrow and then begin growing my mustache. And you can you can go to my MoSpace page, and you can help me succeed in raising money and awareness for men's health issues. Movember has been around for a long time. We're going to talk with Richard Losing, who's the head of major gifts for Movember. He's a 10-year participant in raising money and awareness for the cause. It's a great cause, and it's a lot of fun. It's a very, very cool charity and an important one. And we're going to talk with Rich about Movember, which begins tomorrow. And you still have time to sign up at Movember.com, get the app, grow a mustache. If you don't want to grow a mustache, you just want to be a family member helping out, you can participate in many other ways, and we'll give you all the details on that. But tomorrow, Movember begins, and the mustaches shall be grown, and we shall raise some money. And I hope you guys can donate to my MoSpace page, which will go up and be active starting tomorrow late morning. So Rich is going to join us after we take a break here in a couple of minutes. So that's what's up for the show. Get ready for the scary stuff. We want to hear from you. Scariest movies you've ever seen, scary TV shows, scary books, favorite scary scenes or moments in movies or TV. We would love to hear from you on what scares you, what's going on in the world that scares you. There's a lot of that. But we'll stay away from that and keep it fun on this Halloween morning. So it is. Happy Halloween, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number for talk and text. That's how you can participate on our Halloween Spooktacular. You can also follow us on Twitter, at Nick D Show. And you can also Facebook page is the best way to stay connected, at facebook.com/Nick D Show. But again, talk, text, all Halloween scary stuff coming up later on. And that's 312-981-7200. Let me say hello to my great producer, Dan Shagru. Hello, Dan.
Howdy, Nick.
How are you?
Good, man. How about yourself?
I'm good. It's Halloween.
Yeah.
I enjoy Halloween very much.
I know.
Do you dig my Halloween 3 t-shirt?
I noticed that earlier.
Isn't that the coolest?
Yeah, it is very cool.
I got it at Flashback. It's pretty badass.
Yeah.
It freaked out my mom. I wore it once on a Saturday afternoon when we went to a movie, and my mom's like, what is that shirt? And I'm like, it's Halloween 3. One of the most, and we will hear the theme from Halloween 3 coming up.
Absolutely.
So, and we'll talk scary stuff. That's all coming up. And of course, Dan, we have to control my future ex-wife because she's nuts.
I don't know if it is possible to control her, but we'll do our best.
No, you can't control Dana, and that's what's one of the things that's great about her. And then in the newsroom, it's Vic Vaughn. Vic, how are you?
Hey, doing well, sir. How are you?
All right, man. All right. Your kids are too old to trick-or-treat, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. They're in their teens, right?
But that didn't stop my daughter from dressing up this year. But
oh.
She's not going trick-or-treating.
What though, is she? What does she dress up as?
What's up with the Super Mario thing? I've seen tons of people dress. Why is that making a comeback?
I don't know. Did she have a mustache in the whole nine?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
fantastic. That's good. That's a great costume.
Right, yeah.
Very cool. All right, Vic's in the newsroom till 5. We're all here till 5. It gets scary after 1:30 with our Spooktacular, but we're going to take a break, and when we're going to come back, we're going to talk about a very good organization called Movember and how you can raise money for men's health. That begins after this. All right. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here on a Wednesday morning. And our Halloween Spooktacular is going to begin in a little bit after the news. But right now, we want to talk about something very important. Tomorrow we'll start the month of November. And that would be Movember to a lot of people who participate in Movember. And Movember is a foundation. It's the global men's health charity foundation that is exists to raise money and awareness for men's health issues. And mental health issues as well. And the idea is in the month of November, if you want to participate, shave completely clean, which I will be doing tomorrow, and then start growing a mustache and maintaining the mustache and a mustache only throughout the month of November. I will have my Movember updates every day and my Movember account that you can help me to reach my goal of raising some money. And I've been doing this for a while now. And it's a pretty important organization. And my guest right now is Richard Losing. Rich is the head of Major Gifts for Movember. He's a 10-year participant. And people from around the world are going to go clean-shaven, grow a mustache, only a mustache, to raise funds and awareness for men's health. You can check out Movember.com for more information on how you can get involved and how you can learn more. Let's welcome Rich to the show. Hi, Rich.
Hey, Nick. How you doing? Thanks for having me, my man.
Pretty good. So welcome back, and let's talk a little bit about Movember. Tell everybody, I gave the basics, but tell everybody about the organization.
Yeah, so the Movember Foundation, it started in 2003 in Melbourne, Australia. A couple of Australian guys just wanted to grow mustaches for a month and do something good. And here we are 16 years later, and over 5 million people have participated in Movember, growing mustaches for the month and doing a lot of great fundraising activities, parties, fitness stuff. Just, it's been a fantastic worldwide movement, and I'm happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, well, I've been doing it now. I'm trying to remember how many years I've been growing the mustache for Movember. I think this is maybe the 7th or 8th year that I've been doing it.
Oh, awesome! So you're a vet, then? That's perfect.
Is it? Yeah, yeah. And I grow the. I know there are different types of mustaches, Rich, that people grow, but I do the Fu Manchu when I grow out my mustache, because normally
that's
I have a
strong move.
Normally I have a beard year round, but I'm just going to shave all that off tomorrow and start on my Fu Manchu. So Rich, you've been a participant now for 10 years. How did you personally get involved?
So it's funny, I moved, I'm originally from Cincinnati, Ohio. I moved from the Midwest out to LA for law school back in 2009. And literally one of my buddies in school just said, hey, do you want to do Movember this year? And I said, I don't know what that is. And he said, well, we grow mustaches, we raise a little bit of money for men's health, and then we have a big party at the end of the month. And I said, that sounds like the perfect charity for me. I was like, you're telling me no 5K, no exercise stuff, just raising awareness and growing a silly mustache? I'm in. Sign me up. And I just fell in love. It was a great time. A lot of great parties. Every local community has their own events. And we're very, very heavy on the fundraiser-led events and parties. And it was just a great time. And it stuck. And 10 years later, here I am, still loving it, now have the honor of working for the foundation full-time.
Yeah, and so you started, how long ago did you start working for Movember, and you recently became the head of Major Gifts?
Yeah, so I started in June of last year. It was perfect. I'm a recovering attorney turned to recovering financial advisor, and now I'm a traveling mustache salesman, which has been my dream job all along. So, started in June of 2017, fell in love doing development, meeting some of our amazing supporters all across the country, and now I'm head of the Major Gifts Department to kind of steward and cultivate people that want to make more significant financial contributions to the organization.
That's great. Now let's tell people how you know. First of all, because you don't have to be a guy to be involved in Movember. You can be a woman, you could be a kid, you could be whatever. But first of all, tell us how the guys can get involved, how they can start their Movember page and do their Movember tracking of their Movember mustache.
Absolutely. So the first thing that we encourage everybody to do, man, woman, child, dog, whatever, is to sign up on Movember.com. We want to get people on the website so not only can they see all the information and resources about men's health and all the great work that we're doing, but so they can create their MoSpace page and really start tracking their progress throughout the month. And for the mustaches, it's basically, you know, put a picture up there, set a fundraising target, and just grow your stash. You have, like you said, start clean shaven and grow the style of mustache that suits you the best. Maybe snap some pictures throughout the month, and really just tell people what you're doing, why you're doing it. We call the mustache our hairy banner. You know, it's a great way to get the conversation started, particularly if you're not a guy that usually sports a mustache. Your friends and family will usually say, hey, man, what's going on your face? It's a great opportunity to start that conversation about men's health and the really important things that men need to be doing to take care of themselves.
What's really funny is that I've been doing this now. I believe this is my eighth year. Yeah, like I said, it's my eighth year, and so this will be the eighth. Okay. This will be the eighth Thanksgiving where I've spent it with my parents with a mustache.
Oh man, that's great to hear. And you know what's funny is I talk to a lot of guys that they'll have the cold feet about going home or visiting family with the mustache. And I'm like, do it. Trust me. You won't regret it. And I've actually heard some really great stories. One Mobro that I talked to recently said he was hesitant and went home for Thanksgiving with a mustache, and his family was all asking about it. And his uncle actually, as a result of the conversation, went to the doctor to get a checkup and realized that he had prostate cancer. And luckily, he found it early enough. It was treatable, and now he's cancer-free. But it's stories like that that really, you know, hit home for me and make me understand why November is so important, because it does start that conversation. It encourages guys to really take action if they're not feeling right or if they just haven't seen a doctor or talked to anybody in a while. And Thanksgiving is the perfect time because that's when everyone's home, everyone's talking to family and friends. So I highly encourage all of our Mobros to keep those stashes through Thanksgiving.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So as a 10-year Mobro, during that time, you've raised over $22,000 just from your Mobro pages, right?
Absolutely, yeah. It's been a wild ride. The key to my success is I'm a bit of a wordsmith, I like to think. So the incentive that I give everyone is if they donate $25 or more to my MoSpace page, I will write them a personalized poem on their Facebook wall. People tend to love that, especially the ladies for some reason. Women love to have beautiful poems written about them on an annual basis, so it's been a great fundraising mechanism for me. But I know a lot of our Mobros and Mosisters around the country have a lot of great ways that they raise their own monies to incentivize their friends and family to do cool activities and have parties. So the possibilities are endless when it comes to different ways to raise money.
What are some of your favorite ways that you've heard the Mobros and Sisters raising money over the years?
Well, yeah. Well, one thing, too, and you want to be very clear, is that you don't have to grow a mustache to participate in November.
Right.
We're cognizant that not everybody can grow a mustache. So there's several other ways. One is every year we try to have some sort of fitness challenge, because part of men's health and health generally is just being proactive, getting out there, trying to get a workout in, maybe break a sweat every day, a couple of days. So this year our Move Challenge is we're encouraging everyone to walk or run 60 miles. Each of those miles representing the number of men that take their own life every hour. So we're encouraging men and women and everybody that's participating to set that fitness goal of 60 miles this month. So that's one great way. But even hosting an event, and it could be a fitness-related event, it could be just a happy hour or a costume party or whatever it may be, and just find a cool way to get people together for this shared cause, get people excited about whether it's just about growing mustaches or if it's, you know, you're really heavy into one of the certain causes. The three that we, you know, fund globally are prostate cancer, testicular cancer, and mental health suicide prevention. Whatever it may be, just get people together, have a good time, raise awareness. If you can raise a little bit of money, that's even better. And yeah, just have a good time and enjoy it. And that's what November makes it so special, really, in my eyes, is that I like to think of us as the only really fun charity that exists. You know?
Yeah, yeah.
We're not stale. We're not, you know, doing these things that you see a lot of other charities doing. And even though their causes might be great, I know sometimes people are looking for a good time to be had along with the great causes that exist out there. So
I would suggest that people, you know, go to Movember.com for all this information, to sign up for Movember and to get all the information there and to give money. But I keep track of my mustache and my Movember and the money that I'm raising. I have the Movember app, and that's how I use it. So I use it on my phone. I take the picture on my phone, and then it's really, really simple. I shave every day, take a picture, do an update, post something on it, and I use the app, which is very, very easy to do.
Oh no, the app's great. I have it in my phone. I suggest that all of our Mobros and Mosisters download the app. It's super user friendly, easy to use, a lot of fun. I have to ask you, Nick, how great is your mustache? Are you one of those guys that's, you know, follically gifted? Can you grow a pretty solid mustache?
Yeah, I can. I'm pretty good on the facial hair. Yeah, the mustache is good. So, you know, the reason I do the Fu Manchu is because I'm actually one of these guys that can connect their goatee or their lower half, because some people can't do that, can't connect the lower part of their facial hair with the mustache. But I have the ability to do that, so that's why I opt for the Fu Manchu.
That's awesome. It's a strong mustache. And I'm one of those people, I have facial hair envy because I've never been able to grow great mustache. And I see guys, they can grow like a full Selleck mustache in like an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And it takes me like 2 weeks before anyone even realizes that I'm trying to grow a mustache.
I can't do the full Selleck. I will say this because that's a pretty impressive mustache. But when it's in, it's a mustache. It's a real mustache. So it does look like a mustache. Now, so what kind of mustache do you grow, especially for someone who's phallically challenged, like you say?
Well, you know, it's funny. So I look at pictures when I grew my mustache back in law school, and I was, I don't know, 24, 25, and it's come a very, very long way. I don't know if I hit a second puberty or what happened. So I will say it looks much, much thicker and stronger than it did. But it's still, you know, I have a huge gap in the middle. So that's a big struggle. But one thing I've learned over the years after kind of growing it out, and sometimes I'll go an extra month or two after November, bring it into Christmas and the New Year. But I've learned that if I let the outsides grow, I can get a nice twisty handlebar, like a Raleigh Fingers style mustache.
There you go.
It actually looks pretty good. Yeah. So that's kind of been my go-to. But again, it takes me like 2.5 months to even get somewhat close to that.
Well, you know, one of the other things, besides this being a great organization and raising money, and the idea is to, you know, is to raise as much money and awareness as you can, which I'm setting my goal this year at $1,000, to raise. And I hope to raise that, you know, via my friends and my listeners and all that stuff. One of the other fun things about it, though, is looking at all the other, going to Movember and looking at all the other mustaches, because there's such a variety of mustaches out there and styles. That's also adds to the fun of just, you know, Movember in general.
Oh, absolutely. And what's cool is you can kind of just scroll through different MoSpace pages and look at the different team names. What's cool is you can participate not only on your individual page, but you can link your individual page to a team. So if you're at a workplace or in a community group or whatever, you can all participate in Movember together and tally your total of your fundraising and the amount of miles that you've moved together. So it's cool. And you can look through all the different teams across the country and across the world to see what people are doing, how their mustaches are looking, how they're getting involved, different parties they're having. And it's great. It really creates that sense of community,
right,
that I think Movember brings to the table, which makes it such a special organization.
I'll say really quick before we close here, congratulations to you. Your Movember team is called Stash Money Records. And last year you guys raised $188,777. So congratulations on that. You're doing a great job. And I'm looking forward to participating and shaving and getting that mustache going tomorrow.
We're looking forward to it too, Nick. Thank you so much. And again, I just hope everyone signs up on Movember.com and helps us change the face of men's health.
Got it. Richard, thanks very much, man.
Take care, man.
Take
Thank
care.
You very much.
There you go. There's Rich Losing, everybody. Rich is a member of Movember. He is the head of Major Gifts, and he's a 10-year participant. Beginning tomorrow, people from around the world will go clean shaven, grow a mustache, and only a mustache for the month to raise funds and awareness for men's health. Go to Movember.com for more information. You can sign up. You can join a team. You can donate there. And also get the app, the Movember app, which is the easiest way to participate in Movember and to keep track of if you're growing a mustache. That's the way to do it. That's the way I do it. So clean shaven tomorrow, and then my mustache begins. And I hope you guys can join up and on my MoSpace page. And donate a little dough. I would really appreciate it. All right, we're going to take a break. We got the news coming up, and then it's the 21st annual Halloween Spooktacular. All right, we'll be right back. We're playing a bunch of Halloween music this morning because it's, well, coincidentally, it's Halloween. And it's Nick DiGilio here. We are live in the Allstate Skyline studio here, 18th floor on Wacker Drive, overlooking beautiful downtown Chicago, here till 5 a.m. And it is Halloween, and we are right here celebrating our 21st annual Nick DiGilio Halloween Spooktacular, if you can wrap your mind around that. We got a lot of stuff coming up. We're going to be playing some Halloween music, talking about some movies, great Halloween scary movies, all that good stuff that we do every year. And but I wanted to welcome to the show someone who has got some connection to Halloween, considering that she was one of the stars of Ash versus Evil Dead. And loves Halloween movies, and she's the best. And I wanted to have her on the show just to have her on the show. So because any excuse to have her on the show is great. She's a terrific actress. She's awesome, incredibly talented, and she's my future ex-wife. She's Dana DiLorenzo, and let's welcome Dana to the show. Hi, Dana.
Hi, Nick. Happy 21st anniversary, baby.
Yeah, thanks very much. I can't believe it's our 21st Halloween spooktacular.
It is. You know what's amazing is that, like, I feel like we would have 21 years of marriage right before we got divorced. What do you think?
I think
that's the magic number.
I think it is.
I think that's a good number.
Yeah.
Should we aim for that?
Yeah, let's aim for that.
Like, just because I'm your future ex-wife doesn't mean it has to be, like, you know, under five.
No. No, absolutely.
We could do, like, a solid 21 years and be like, peace out.
That sounds good.
And then on that Halloween anniversary, then we'll make this big announcement that we're separating. It'll be perfect. We'll have a celebration. It'll be great.
That'll be awesome. So how you doing, Dana? Long time no see. I saw you last Sunday.
I know. Wow, has it been? Was it just last Sunday already?
Yeah.
Wow.
A week ago Sunday.
To see you in Chicago. And very cold Chicago. That is my favorite thing about Chicago is its schizophrenia with the weather. Where from when I saw you, I think it ended up being like 60 degrees that day. And before that, there were like heat lamps on. It was -20 waiting for the L. I love that. I actually miss that. Even though, you know, I live in LA and where it's, you know, 70 degrees now. And I'm like, brr, I need my heat on. Yeah. I get there and I'm like, God, I do miss it. You miss it when you leave Chicago. It was so good to see you, though.
Oh, it was great.
Such a good time.
And it was awesome because it was like, you know, when you were at Flashback, I had stuff I had to do and you were at your table. So we didn't get to see a ton of each other. But we spent like a solid 6 hours together the Sunday before last. Which was nice.
Wait, were you just counting? Because I wasn't even counting. I was just enjoying the moment. Were you like counting the hours so you were allowed to leave? Were you like, okay, it's like a meter. If I put in four more quarters, I only have to stay for another hour.
No, I was loving every second of it, Dana. You know that.
Okay. So. All right. Well, you're a very good liar. I had so much fun with you. Yeah. And congratulations again, because that's when I found out that you are the number one radio show.
Yeah, we do. We do well, not in the entire city, but we do well in our time slot.
Well, that's in my book. You are.
Yeah,
you're the number one. I'm so excited. Congratulations.
Well,
well deserved.
Dana, thank you. Do you enjoy Halloween?
I do enjoy a good Halloween. Do you?
Yes, of course. It's my favorite time of year. I love the fall. It's my favorite season. And horror movies are my favorite genre. And so, yeah, this is a time when people celebrate that. You could turn on cable at any time, any day, any time during the season, and there's at least 5-6 horror movies on TV.
That's true. And you know what? I forget what channel it was, but I was, like, browsing through, like, late night when I was just recently in Ohio. And Hocus Pocus was on, which... I'm sorry, that's not a horror movie, obviously, but, like, I swear, I just love that movie. I love it so much. And on that, whatever channel it was airing, I laughed so hard because they actually did this brilliant marketing thing where they were talking, they chose a line from Mrs. Doubtfire of, like, Robin Williams talking about like, whenever she holds Winston, her dead husband, you know, whenever she says cold meat, she's reminded of her dead husband. And they, like, put it with this really scary music to say as if it was, like, this horror movie. And they put it with this whole different spin on it.
Yeah.
But it was Mrs. Doubtfire. And I don't know why it made me laugh so hard. but I love flipping through the channels just to see what you stumble upon, especially during Halloween.
You know, it's funny you mentioned, Dana yeah. That... Hocus Pocus has just had this brand new life. When it first came out, you know, it did okay. But over the years, it's one of these movies that's become like a classic. And people are constantly, you know, quoting it and watching it all the time now. It's become like a Halloween classic now.
I'm happy to hear that because, again, I'm not trying to say in any way is it like scary, but... My God, it's so entertaining, and I find myself quoting it all the time, and I love the concept, and I just love, I mean, I love the whole thing. So anytime Kathleen and Jimmy and Sarah Jessica Parker and Bette Midler, and then they're like singing, I put a spell on you,
yeah.
And there, I mean, come on, it's just, I love, but also, I am a little impartial, because I do love my horror comedy, as you know. So yeah. That's why I... that's why I think that is a special place. But what's your, do you have like a go-to, wait, what's your word that you came up with that I asked you about when I saw you?
I'm sorry?
What's your word about a movie? What is your word
that you came up with? Remote dropper.
And explain what that is one more time.
That's if you've got the remote and you're flipping through channels going really quick and you come across a movie that it doesn't matter how far into the movie you are. You could be an hour into it, could just be starting. You immediately put the remote down because you don't need to change the channel for the rest of that movie. That's a remote dropper.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's also, does it also include that it doesn't matter, even if the movie is edited for TV and like the G-rated version, that you would, is that still considered that you would still watch it no matter what?
Actually, I do. Yeah, there are several movies that I do that to, even if it's on on commercial TV. And you know, when we were talking about this, a couple of weeks ago, we both mentioned how My Cousin Vinny is way near the top of that list of remote droppers.
It just is. I'm not ashamed to admit it. I think it is a perfect movie.
Yeah,
I actually do. And it's not just because, I mean, is it because we're Italian? Is everyone rolling their eyes who's listening right now? Like, yeah. I mean, I do just think it's a perfect movie. I can't get. Don't you think? I mean, the quotes. Talk about one liner.
Yeah.
Like, and I just, it just gives me an excuse to work on my Marissa Tomei impression at all times.
It's funny, it is a classic movie, and as I was when we were talking about it, I mentioned how I had low expectations for that movie, but it does the absolute opposite of what it would have been easy to do, which is to just do New York Italian stereotype and Southern stereotype, and they're both dumb, they're both stupid, but everybody in that movie is smart, and it's about the cultural differences, and they're all intelligent, and they're all great characters, and none of them are stereotypes, and that's what I think makes that movie special.
I agree with you. I couldn't have said it better myself. And especially, I mean, that moment when Marissa Tomei is on the stand,
yeah,
she's like, no, because it's a trick question, because the 64, I don't find, well, I was about to do, but I didn't say anything, did I? No. Did I almost say the word? I almost said the word,
yeah,
but I didn't. Did I?
No, you didn't.
Are we hitting the dump?
I think you're okay.
I don't even know what word I was trying to say, but I was trying to say it's a trick question because the tire truck, when she just drops that knowledge out on the court,
yeah.
You cheer.
Absolutely. And by the way, you do a killer Marissa Tomei. Let me just say that. So.
Oh, thank you. You want to shoot a tear? A sweet little innocent tear pin? Can we? I can't actually do it. I can't do it because I can't do the punchline.
No, because you can't because it's the punchline.
But, you know.
The punchline involves.
I can hear it. I get to. Because what?
Because the punchline involves the F-bomb, so you can't.
And it is. I mean, but it is such a perfect.
Oh, it is.
It is such a perfect line.
Yeah, yeah.
Everyone knows what it is.
So you know, speaking of horror, which we're going to be speaking of, when I talk a little more Ash versus Evil Dead and all that other cool stuff, you just got back from a con last weekend. You went to Minnesota.
I did go to Minnesota.
Yeah.
I've been working on the accent. I did. Let me tell you what, the cheese curds did not disappoint. I got very starstruck by someone in particular. I don't know if you happen to see my social media. But I got to meet Animal.
Yes.
From the Muppets. My great moment. And I know, I'm true, but I like actually geeked out. There's a video of me geeking out. And it was, I mean, listen, I think you and I talked about this too in person, that I love it so much. And we had such a good time and it was such incredible people. And especially getting to see, because it's like, you know, right before, you know, Halloween. So everyone was even more dressed up than usual.
Yeah.
So I saw everyone from the Joker to Uncle Fester to probably one of my top two Kelly Maxwell cosplays I've ever seen.
Is that right?
Clara. And, oh my gosh. Yeah. I mean, the number one just recently was this 13-year-old Gretchen because her awesome dad actually bought my wardrobe. The wardrobe that I wore is Kelly Maxwell, bought it on eBay and gave it to us, like got it as a gift for this 13-year-old awesome girl named Gretchen. And I was like, well, you can't top that.
Yeah.
Because you're wearing my actual wardrobe. But this girl, Clara, because, you know, purple jackets are hard to come by, Nick. They're hard to come by in any form. And because they, you know, the wardrobe made them for me. They made them by hand, dyed the leather and the pleather and all the things. And so this girl, like, actually took it a step further and put, like, these great Evil Dead patches, like the deer head and the chainsaw, and, like, this, sewed it on this purple, beautiful suede jacket, and had the shirt that you have, the Patti Smith homage, the S the clock, and the frayed jeans. And she was, like, a beautiful blonde in real life. And that I saw the next day when she came back, because she had had the black, long, like, dark black wig with purple highlights from season 3. I mean, she did it up. She even had a powerful vagina pin, which I was very impressed with, I have to say.
That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
So it was just a good time. It was a really good time. And however, there was the clown from It, and I definitely showed that I'm not a cool person in real life. I just have never liked clowns, but that clown from It traumatized me when I was 7 and accidentally watched it when I was at my grandma's.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that I like, people were thinking I was trying to be funny, but I really wasn't, because I was hiding under my table.
Because you were totally freaking out.
When that clown walked by.
Totally
freaking out. And people were like, oh, ha, ha, because it was so, they thought it was so over the top. So I kind of, like, tried to play that. Like, oh, good. They think I'm doing this as a bit. Just go with it, because I'm not.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
But then soon when it walked by my table, and I immediately ran out the door and then bumped right into this person, and then they spilled their drink everywhere, and it was a whole thing, Nick. You missed it. You missed the physical comedy
is
my life when I'm scared.
Oh, no.
But it was really good. He was a really good, he was a very scary, scary, and perfect spot-on version of it.
You know, the costumes at these conventions are, you know, because I'm at Flashback every year, as you know, and every year I'm never ceased to be amazed at some of the costumes that they wear. By the way, I just spoke with Svengoolie Rich Kozin, and he says hi to you.
Hi. Oh, I had such a lovely time talking to him, and thank you again, Nick, for getting me to be a part of Flashback. That was all you. Thanks.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean,
your
it was great.
Check for 10% is in the mail.
Great. No, it was great. It was great having you there. You know, and I had a fun weekend hanging out with you. That was a great time.
Yes. So, and you got to do our panel, our little Q&A.
I did.
We had a good time.
Yeah.
And you did you get? To, I think you. I feel like you got to meet my dad.
I did meet your dad.
Yeah.
Your dad's a lovely. Now I understand. You just sent me a text just a little bit earlier that your dad wants to tell a Halloween joke.
Well, I told him. So I listened to the joke this most recent week that your dad told for the dad joke of the week.
Yeah.
And I said it to my dad, and I was like, hey, Dad, since Nick is my future ex-husband, would you want to tell a joke? Maybe I'll see if he wants to do it as an homage to his dad.
Yeah.
And I go, do you know any jokes? And he told, do you remember what I said in the text I said to you? He told me the joke, and I immediately rolled my eyes and then chuckled in spite of myself.
Yeah.
Because dads.
Exactly.
Because dad jokes.
Exactly. Dana, hang on, okay? Yeah. We'll forget.
Okay, good. I'll go get him prepared.
All right, cool. Hang on a second.
Okay.
Okay. It's Dana DiLorenzo, who I adore. You know that. I love her. And she is my future ex-wife and star of Ash vs. Evil Dead. Lots of other stuff to talk about. It's Halloween. We're going to talk about some of her favorite scary movies. And we had a conversation about a week and a half ago about the impact that The Exorcist made on her. And I want to get into that conversation as well. And that's all coming up right here. And it is the Halloween Spooktacular on 720 WGN. And we will return with more right after this on 720 WGN. The rockin' version of the Munsters theme. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, live in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We are here until 5 a.m. It is Halloween. It is our 21st annual Halloween Spooktacular. We're going to talk about scary movies and play some clips and listen to some scary music and take your phone calls and talk about scary books and all of that cool stuff on Halloween. Coming up at 5 o'clock, Steve Grzanich with the opening bell. At 6 o'clock is Steve Cockenworth, your morning drive. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. My guest right now, though, is my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo. Who I adore and wanted to have her on. I want to have her on every show if that's possible, but we thought Halloween would be pretty appropriate for Dana to be on with us. Dana, welcome back.
Hi, Nick.
Hi.
Happy anniversary. Happy 21st.
Thank you.
Halloween anniversary.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. You know, I
soon to be our anniversary whenever you decide.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. I'm waiting.
You know,
I mean, you already met my dad. You got the hard part's over.
So is your dad going to tell this Halloween joke?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm going to put it on speaker.
Okay.
Dad, my direct husband, who you met, Nick DiGilio.
Hi, Nick. How are you?
Hey, how are you? Good to see you. Good to hear from you again.
Yeah, good to hear you again. I enjoyed meeting you in Chicago. It was a great time.
I appreciate
and,
that.
Yeah, maybe I'll get to do it again next year.
Yeah, love to. I'd love to. Absolutely.
My dad was a big... Wait, can we just talk about my dad was a bigger hit than I was? People were, like, coming up to meet my dad. You know that was true. You know you're laughing because you know it's true. Honestly. Like, I was like, okay, dad, just... Okay, I mean, honestly, I was the sideshow. I was the hype man for my pop.
Well, your dad's a great, you're a great man, and it was so much fun to talk to you and hang out with you for a little bit. And now I understand now that you actually have a Halloween joke. Now you know that my father appears on this show every Monday morning at 4:45 a.m. and tells a joke. He's been doing this is the last one that he did. Check this out. The last one that he did was his 231st joke on my show.
Wow.
Yeah.
And I heard it. Dana played that for me. She just played it for me tonight.
She did.
I said, well, then I'm going to have to come up with some kind of ridiculous joke. So
okay.
I did.
All right. Here we go.
All right. You ready?
Yeah.
In view of the Halloween spirit, why didn't the skeleton go to the dance?
Why didn't the skeleton go to the dance?
Because he didn't have anybody to go with.
All right. There you go.
I mean, you're making a fun. I can't help. I like literally can't help but laugh at my dad's joke.
It's funny.
It's not terrible.
No, it's funny.
You know what? Your dad and my dad would be friends. So when their father-in-law's in-law, wait, what would you be?
Yeah.
What would he be to you? What would they be to each other?
They would be, well, they would be in-laws. Yeah.
That's it. Yeah. I guess there's no word for that.
Yeah.
Well, then they could just sit there and tell their terrible jokes.
Better than being outlaws.
Oh, my God. Did you hear him?
No. What
did
he say?
He goes, better than being outlaws. Hit the drums again, Nick. Come on.
Here, hold on.
Don't laugh. Please don't hear him. Oh, my God. He is cracking himself up. Okay. All right. You're going. I'm taking off speaker. I'm back to my childhood bedroom because... Dad, I can't find your Cleveland Browns thing, so you have to we just got DVR in this house for the first time, because you know why? My dad uses VHS tapes, everybody.
Oh, good.
That's why. And so we're trying to find something we're trying to find this Browns thing, and I can't find it. So.
Uh-oh.
There.
All right.
You know what I mean? Oh, I know. It's big trouble. But see what I mean? My dad always takes away my thunder. He's like the star of every show. He's still laughing at himself downstairs. Honestly, he loves it. But, I thank you for that. Made his night. He needed a little shot in the arm. Thank you.
It was fantastic. It was a great joke. You mentioned people dressing up like you at these conventions. Does that freak you out ever?
Oh no, quite the opposite. I mean. First of all, it's like the only freaking out that usually happens is me freaking out my fans because I'm so intense and so long-winded that they're honestly the ones that are like, okay, so nice to meet you. You can let go of my hand now, Dana. Like, I swear to God, I told you that. I told you that in person too. Like, it's just, I'm so excited when anyone even attempts to do anything for the show, let alone cosplay me. But when they like really get it, I like this one girl and like Gretchen, the 13-year-old who like had my actual outfit. I just get so excited. I really do, because I mean, look, I mean, it's still very surreal to me. Because like when you know, it's not like you're a rock star and you're going on a stage and you're selling out arenas where you can see and feel and experience your fans in a large way that you realize like, oh, people are listening to my music.
Yeah.
You know, you go and you film it and you know, then you're like, you know, doing your laundry and taking out your trash. And if you're like me, tripping over sidewalks in your own 2 feet. And so then all of a sudden you're like, Oh, wait, am I on TV? People are actually know who my character is? That's exciting. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's truly an honor, and I'm humbled every time, and I get so excited. And I welcome anybody to keep doing it. It thrills me. I've gotten a few this weekend, and there was one that just made me laugh so hard because it was so serious. It was Ash and Kelly, mm-hmm. who was a husband and wife.
Uh-huh.
And I retweeted it and said, please make this your happy holidays card.
Oh, I saw that. I saw that. Yeah, I did.
I mean, it just tickles me. So, that's why, Nick, when you dressed as me.
Yeah.
And your hair could have been a little longer, but it was perfect. It was fine. It was great. Maybe could have used a little bit more lipstick. Just saying. Just a little bit more of a pop of a lip. But it thrilled me. I squeal.
Yeah.
Is that weird? Is that lame?
No.
I don't care.
No. It's not weird. Dana, hang on, okay?
Well, if you insist.
I do. Okay. Dana DiLorenzo is with us, and she's the best. And we'll take a quick break, and we'll talk more. We'll talk some scary movies and all kinds of other really cool stuff with my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo. Coming up next here on 720 WEG. Friday the 13th, man. Uh-oh. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN on our annual Halloween Spooktacular, and we're here until 5 a.m. A lot more Halloween-related stuff that we're going to be talking about. If you want to jump in at any time, it's 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200, and that's for talk and text. My guest right now is Dana DiLorenzo, who's been on the show many, many times, and she's my future ex-wife, and we love having her on. Dana, welcome back.
Thank you, Nick. But you just gave out your number. So, like, are you texting other people? I thought this was exclusive.
No. You're the only person. You're the only one that I text, Dana. That's it.
Okay, that's what I thought, because that's what you told me, and that's what Dan told me too. So unless he's in on it, then I mean,
no.
Well, you have to say for yourself. See, he's being very silent because he knows that that's what he told me.
Hey, Dana.
I'm not the one sneaking around my dad to talk to my future ex-husband.
I don't really, that doesn't even make sense, Dan. So hold your jealousy back a little bit, because sneaking around would be me like whispering in my garage outside or my porch. I literally just said to my dad, hey, this is Nick DiGilio. You met him. He's my future ex-husband. He told you, what are you talking about? Dan, calm down, okay? I'm not even there with him, all right? You're in the same room. Everything's fine. It's all fine. I won't step on your toes, buddy. Okay.
Fine. So, hey, we text back and forth, talk to each other quite frequently. As you know, as future.
Calm down. We don't need to tell everybody.
No, I know, but I told you that I just recently started watching the audio commentary that you guys did for season 3. I just got season 3 on DVD. Recently, so I popped it in and I was watching the audio commentary, and I know that you don't remember, you said you don't remember really what you said or what they used, but let me just assure you that you're great on those audio commentaries. You are
I just don't even know what you mean, though. I'm not, like, this is no BS. I literally have no idea what you're talking about, because I feel like you're pulling my leg.
I'm not pulling your leg. I'm not pulling your leg.
I just don't understand what I would have said, because also, Nick, you've talked to me enough to know that I just never know how to put a period at the end of a sentence.
Right.
So either they edit, either someone does a really spot on impression of me, or there is some master editor that I need to meet.
It was you and Tappert, Lucy Lawless, and mm-hmm. Ray, and it was the episode where you and Lucy Lawless get into that insane fight with the shotgun and the whole, and you guys were just, all you guys were doing was just talking about how much fun it was and how cool it was, and it was really infectious that you got, you know, in the conversation, and you guys were cracking each other up. It was just really entertaining.
Oh, well, that makes me happy. Yeah, in that case, like, yeah, now you're jogging my memory a little bit. Anytime, you know, Lucy is in the room, I just, yeah, it's infectious. She has the greatest laugh.
Yeah.
And even though it's, you know, a lot of work and you know, I absolutely hit Lucy Lawless in the face during that scene. And then I started crying.
Yep.
You know, she took it like a champ, and like, it just, she's become one of my dearest I don't know, people in my life. And I cannot say enough about that woman. So we actually, what you were hearing was, you know, after the fact, we were seeing it for the first time because we recorded those before they aired.
Oh, okay.
And so we were, it was very much news to us being able to like really see the episode. And so we were, I think that's what the infection is.
Yeah.
No, such a word exists.
No, you could tell, you could tell you guys were having a blast recording that and having a blast watching it. And it was infectious. You know what I mean? Like I was watching it and I started laughing and I just thought it was great. And
that makes me happy. Yay. Yeah. Well, thank you, Nick. Yeah. I appreciate that.
Okay. So, Dana, have I ever introduced you to Count Farchula?
Definitely not, because I would remember that.
Well,
so
I have.
Please,
I have my.
May I be introduced?
I have my two friends that are with me for every Halloween season on the show, and it's Count Farchula and Fartenstein, and they are plush toys that when you squeeze their finger, they do stuff like this.
Open the coffin! Let me out!
See. That's how mature I am.
You know what? I just find that that's a boy thing. Like, every guy I know, like, my brother, to this day, will literally be like, hey, Dad, I got something to tell you.
Oh, and,
like, what?
And then
he'll just come in my bedroom, like, when we're home at Christmas or whatever,
yeah,
and just flirt for, like, 5 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's like gotten terrible as an adult. And so, like, but he thinks it's the funniest thing. He's like a 30-year-old man.
Yeah.
Like, are we so past this, though? But I think it's a dude thing.
It
but,
is. But I think it is,
funny.
Too.
I'm glad that they are friends.
Yeah, they
Thank
are.
Thank you for not bringing them when we hung out. I'm glad that they were not invited to our party.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been cool.
No. That would have been a one-hour hangout instead of a six.
You know, as you know, we had a pretty interesting conversation about the impact that The Exorcist had on you. Now, I saw that movie. I was eight. I was 8 years old when I saw it.
Jeez.
Yeah, and I saw it in the theater at eight. And so,
but who took you to see it when you were eight?
My dad.
Your dad, like your mom was okay with it?
No. This is a whole. I think I told you the story. My mom found out about it like 40 years later. Because it was a secret,
dad. Yeah, no, I was setting you up so you could tell the story.
Oh, you were setting me up. Oh, okay.
Oh, Jesus.
I've told the story. I've told the story before. People know the story.
Oh, okay. Well, I wanted to hear it again, but that's okay.
Okay.
Fine. Your mom just found out that all
she found out a few years
earlier.
Yeah, she found out a few years ago that my dad and she was mad at my dad. Like this happened when the movie came out.
Obviously,
she was mad at my father.
If I was your mom, I'd be mad. Of course, she would be mad.
But you know, The Exorcist. You saw The Exorcist at a pretty impressionable age too, and it had a big impact on you, right?
It did. I was. I think it was like the first true horror film I had seen because I was really into Goosebumps. I think I started reading those at like nine or ten. So when I was 12. I was watching the show on Nickelodeon. I'm going to age myself, but I don't care. I was watching the show on Nickelodeon called Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Yep.
And I was obsessed with it.
Yep.
Which, by the way, I think I talked to you about that just real quick. I have to just interject this because it just happened in Minnesota at the Mall of America. Do you remember that I said to this day, I don't know if it was the very first episode. I don't remember where it was in the lineup, but it's one episode that as an adult, I still have nightmares about. On Are You Afraid of the Dark, where you are trapped in a mall, and then all of the mannequins and things come to life, and like, you never get out. Like, this kid is in the mall for the rest of his life, and just like, as soon as he defeats all the demons, and it's like a pinball machine in a mall, but then he realizes he's stuck inside the pinball machine inside the mall, and has to every day try and not die.
Oh my God.
It's like crazy. Yeah, no, right. It would be a fantastic for a kid's show. Are you ready for this? I had an honest like PTSD moment, and I just to talk to you about it when it was there was like one restaurant in Minnesota near where we were that was open. It was in the Mall of America, and everything was closed, and everything inside the mall looked exactly like the TV show.
Anyway, I have to tell you this, Dana. I've been to the Mall of America once. And it scared the hell out of me. I was terrified while I was in there. My first ex-wife, her brother lived in Minnesota. So we went up to visit him, and we went to the Mall of America. And I'm not good in malls. I'm not. I'm not good in malls. I just, when I go in to buy something, I go in, I buy it, and I get the hell out. And obviously you've been to the Mall of America. It's the biggest mall in the world, and it's terrifying.
Well, just that moment. Well, but like I was the only, I'm going to be honest, the only thing I've seen of it was after hours when no one was there.
Right.
And it was just beelining to get to this one restaurant that was open so I could eat at like 11 o'clock at night before I had to get up for the convention the next day. Nick, I was honest to God, I was so terrified. It was truly, I was like, I was just talking. I told my friend Chuck, I was like, I was just talking about this. This is like, I swear to God, this was a setup by Nick or something. Cause I just revealed to you that that is one of my greatest fears.
Here's one of the, Here's another freaky thing. We go to the Mall of America and I'm freaking out. There's a roller coaster in the middle of the place. It's terrifying.
What? I didn't even see any of that. Okay. I didn't see any of that.
So,
go ahead.
So we decide we're going to go to a movie, you know, at this point. We're just going to go to, I can't take this. I'm tense. Let's go to a movie. And we went to go see Seven.
And so, you know what? Nothing says a good spa day like Seven. you want a head massage?
Oh my God.
That's what we got.
And so that added to it. And when we got out of the movie, that like you, Dana, most of the places were closed because we went to the movie in the evening. So when we got out, and I was like, I got to get the hell out of this place, man. This is scarier than the Mall and Dawn of the Dead. I can't even be in here.
I'm literally like grunting and screaming of how uncomfortable this makes me, which is funny because somehow we started talking about The Exorcist and it turned out at the Mall of America. So to answer your question,
yes.
Look, I always bring it back though, Nick. I might be tangential, but I always bring it back.
That's right.
Might be 10 days later, but I do. So I answer your thing. You saw The Exorcist at 8. Piggybacking on this, I had really had some strange fascination with horrors. Okay, so my parents, being the Italian Catholic parents they are, I think I was 12. They argue I was older, but okay, I'm going to say 12 because that's how I remember it. Put on The Exorcist, and it was truly, obviously, the most terrifying, but the most fascinating thing I'd ever seen. And it always stayed with me because I was. At least they said I was the age that Linda Blair was when she played that role when I watched it. And I had wanted, you know, at this point I had a whole 9 years of wanting to be an actor. So I just was so blown away that someone my age at the time could have played a role like this. It just blew my mind. I just couldn't even comprehend it. So at these conventions, it's like I always seem to like bump into her in the elevator, and she always says something to me that then catches me off guard, like a normal comment, like, "Oh hey, I like your bag," and I'm like, "I like green beans." Like I'm just such an idiot. Like, it's not even funny though. And, like, I tried to talk to her handler to apologize to her. She's like, can you just tell her that I'm really sorry? And she was like, well, you should just tell her. And I was like, no, I really don't think I can because I can't even explain and, like, how much she means to me and how I've always held a candle for her and da-da-da. And so then I told you about the time that I tried and massively failed, man. Oh, God. Just so everybody knows, like, you know, when people talk about getting starstruck, it doesn't matter who you are, where you are, who it is. If they mean something to you, and you were probably, unless you're like cool, which I'm not, you will probably, you know, be an idiot. And I definitely, man, I avoided her at every convention since because I was like, I was just such an idiot. Well, I was more long-winded than I am on your show, so feel bad for her. You know what I mean? She had to sit there and pretend to be interested, and I swear to God, I saw her glaze over. And, like, you're getting that signal.
Yeah.
You're like, Dana, okay, you probably never do, because you're very concise and you're very entertaining. Nick, as I've told you, you're very good at talking. You should do radio. Anyway. I did do it. That's probably why I ain't there anymore. And she was glazed. I just saw the glaze that I get from even my own parents. And I was like, Dana, abort, abort, abort. And what do? Just keep digging the hole. Yeah. Going, so what is that like for you, man? That was me.
Wow. So
I know. Feel bad for me.
Listen, Dana. So Ash vs. Evil Dead, all three of the seasons are now available on DVD if people want to get them. You've got a movie that's going to be coming out next year called Friendsgiving, and that you play Kat Dennings' sister in that, correct?
I do, and it's probably one of the funniest things I've ever been able to be a part of, and I have it's just so funny. It brings up the Italian Jersey culture. Kat Dennings and I is a Jersey girl. I'm her sister. The people that they cast as our mom and our aunt or Uncle Sal, all those things, it's just perfect. But it's in the way that funny. In the way that my cousin Vinny was, it's not cliche. It's actually like very fresh and very, very relatable in the sense that, like, yes, like, you know, Thanksgiving, it's about two women who are friends who are both separately going through a breakup around a holiday being Thanksgiving, which is a nightmare, right, when you go through that.
Yeah.
But so then it's about getting together with your friends because you're like, oh, well, they're friends. There's a lot less dysfunction in the dysfunctional family and a lot more fun. But it also can, it doesn't necessarily make that true.
Right.
It's a lot of shenanigans, a lot of fun, and I'm super excited about it.
Right.
And yeah, supposedly next Thanksgiving it'll be out for sure.
All right, cool. And everybody can follow you at I'm Dana DiLorenzo on the Twitter, right? And you're on the Facebook as well.
I am on the Facebook as Nick DiGilio's future ex-husband.
That's right.
Wait, I said ex-husband.
Yes. Well,
see how I did that there?
That was perfect.
You know what, Dan? That was for you, buddy. Dan, that was for you.
Oh, boy. Dana, always a pleasure. It's always too quick when you and I are hanging out. And so we'll get
you. Yeah, not for anybody else, but for you and I, yes, always too quick.
So,
we'll get you. Tell her to shut up.
We'll get you on again soon. Whatever's happening, you know, in your career and any of that stuff, you've got a home here to talk about it anytime you want. You know that.
And you know I love you for that, and you've been so supportive, and I adore you, and I'm giving you a big hug and a kiss from close in the Midwest to you. And I wish you a happy 21st anniversary. Happy Halloween. I can't wait to see what you dress as.
Okay, great. And get back to Chicago. I know you just left Chicago, but you need to come back again soon.
Well, if you have a place for me to stay, I'm in. I should show you my costume. I'm dressing as you.
Okay.
So you would love it.
All right.
Yeah.
Great.
I grew my 5 o'clock shadow just for you.
Good.
And just I coiffed it perfectly for you.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I can't wait to see that. All right. Dana, my best to you. My best to your dad too, okay? And tell him thanks for the joke.
I will tell them.
Okay.
I will. Thank you so much, my baby.
Happy okay, Halloween. Dana. Take care. There you go.
All right.
Dana DiLorenzo. I love her so much, it makes me crazy. It's my future ex-wife, Dana DiLorenzo. Always adds a lot of fun to whenever you have her on, and I wanted to have her on for Halloween because of her connection to Halloween and all that cool stuff, and she's just the best. All right, we'll take a break here on 720 WGN. I miss looking up at the screen at the traffic hut and seeing Esmeralda Leon dancing to this because she loves this. That, of course, is from Halloween 3. That's the Silver Shamrock commercial for the masks. I am wearing my fantastic Halloween 3 t-shirt in honor of Halloween. And I love Halloween 3. It's a movie that has its detractors. And when it first came out, the detractors certainly outnumbered the fans. And I remember seeing Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, at the Plaza Theater in the Lincoln Village area. The Friday night it opened with a couple of friends, a few friends from high school, from Luther North, and place was packed. And I very rarely have sat in a theater with more angry patrons at the end than at the end of Halloween 3, Season of the Witch, because, you know, Michael Myers isn't in it. It's not a continuation of the regular Halloween story. The idea was to do an anthology Halloween movie every year and tell a different story. And this one has nothing to do with Michael Myers. It has to do with a crazed guy named Cochran, which we know all kinds of crazed people named Cochran, who tries to make a mass sacrifice by taking pieces of Stonehenge and computer chips, putting them in the back of these masks, and having kids sit in front of the TV with the masks on while there's a flashing pumpkin. And the masks will activate something to happen inside the kids' heads where their heads split open and snakes and bugs crawl out and they all die. And it satisfies the god that Cochran is trying to appease. Along for the ride is Tom Atkins, and it's got a very abrupt ending that could be the end of the world, but you don't know because it ends. It has since, I will say this, it has since gotten some fans. It's gotten a lot more fans, in fact. And there's a cult of us who adore Halloween 3. And I defend this movie constantly. And really, like I said, though, it does have, there are a lot of more fans who are very loyal to the movie. I've discovered that over the years, especially, you know, when we had, like, many of the cast members of Halloween 3 at Flashback Convention. Lots of hardcore fans for Halloween 3, but that's not the way it was when the movie came out, man. I thought they were going to rip the seats out of that theater. They were so angry. So we kick it off with Halloween 3. We've got the best horror movies of all time. What are your favorite horror movies? What are the scariest movies you've ever seen? And so let's talk about individual scenes, too. Individual moments and scenes in movies. It's the Spooktacular. Yeah! 312-981-7200 is the phone number for Talkin' Tex. Join us. We're talking scary movies. What are your favorites? Basically the best horror score of all time. By the Italian prog rock band Goblin. From what I think is the scariest movie I've ever seen. It's the original Suspiria. I never thought I would ever say the original Suspiria, but there is indeed a remake that opens this Friday, and I gotta say, I was very skeptical of it until I saw it, and I loved it. And we'll talk about that a little bit later on, but that's the scariest score of all time. The best score of all time. That's Suspiria. Dario Argento's 1977 classic. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. Because, indeed, we are talking about the scariest movies of all time. Your favorite horror movies. Your favorite Halloween movies. 312-981-7200. It is the 21st annual Halloween Spooktacular! 312-981-7200 for Talk and Text. Here's Dave on WGN. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Nick. I've always liked Karloff in The Bride of Frankenstein.
One of the greatest movies ever made. Whether not just horror, one of the greatest movies of all time, The Bride of Frankenstein.
Well, you know, he's more of a complex character. I mean, he's only a monster if he's provoked. Mm-hmm. If you're nice to him, he's nice to you. Do you remember that scene? I think it's the best scene in the whole movie. He's seeking refuge from the avenging mob, and he comes across a hermit living, blind hermit, lives all by himself in a cottage in, I don't know. I don't know why these movies, they seem to take place in Bavaria or Germany and not England.
Right.
But, you know, and the guy teaches him, you know, this is bread, this is wine, here, have a smoke, this is a cigar. And, you know, he starts freaking out because it's a little bit of fire. But then the hermit calms him down and says, no, fire is good. And, you know, the monster goes, good, bad. But, you know, he talks in that film. You didn't know he could talk.
No, it's a great movie. It is one of the classic, I think the best of all the Universal movies. And it was just screened at the Pickwick Theater. Matthew Hoffman just showed it on the big screen at the Pickwick Theater. Mm-hmm. And to see it on the big screen is magnificent. And, it's a great movie. It's better than the original Frankenstein.
Yeah. But I love that part. I think the best part of the movie is when he meets the hermit, and it's just great.
Yeah, it is great.
I love it.
All right, Dave. Thanks for the call.
Sure.
Take care. There you go. There's Dave with Bride of Frankenstein. Yeah, Bride of Frankenstein. And then, of course, you know, that scene with the hermit. With the monster visiting the hermit. Was brilliantly recreated in Young Frankenstein with Gene Hackman as the hermit himself. that is really one of the funniest scenes ever. So let's see. Here's James on WGN. Hi, James.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing today?
All right.
My scariest movie as a child, I went to see Phantasm by myself.
Mm-hmm.
That was the worst thing I could have ever did.
Yep.
My house was about 6 blocks away from the movie theater. I looked through every alley running home.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Phantasm, we've talked about Phantasm many times in the past, James, and I just screened it last month. At my film club on the big screen, we did the Phantasm Remastered from a couple of years ago where they went back and they remastered the entire print. It looks and sounds better than it ever. And that was a life changer for me. I was 14 years old when that movie came out, and the main character in that movie is a 14-year-old boy. And I'm not exaggerating when I say I saw Phantasm over 100 times in the theater when it first came out. Over 100 times. And that's not an exaggeration. It's one of my favorite movies of all time. Yeah.
Yeah, I got a quick question for you about one of the Halloween movies. In one of the Halloween movies, Michael Myers was chained in a cell, and a figure comes in with a long coat and a hat. Did they ever reveal who that was?
It's, you know, I got to tell you, it was part five. I remember it was part five because I couldn't believe that's how the movie, because it sucked. The movie sucked, and I couldn't believe that's how the movie ended. I don't remember whether they solved it or not, because they did make a part six after that. I don't remember because all of those movies are a blur to me. Halloween 4 through Resurrection, with the exception of H2O, are all terrible, and I've only seen them one time, all of them, except for H2O, which I've seen many times. But I don't remember
that. Me and my buddies been debating that for years. I'm thinking it was Jamie Lee Curtis dressed in a, you know, that I always thought that, you know, that was my hypothesis.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't.
Who was in that coat?
Yeah, I have no idea because I just didn't care because I hated the movie so much. Like, when it was over, I couldn't wait to get the hell out of that theater. So, all right, James, thanks, man.
Have a good one.
All right, buddy, take care. And I have a list here of the 75 best horror movies of all time, and this is put together by Scott Weinberg, an old friend of the show's. He put this list together, and he put Phantasm too low. I'm sorry, Scott. You know, I know you're a buddy of mine and everything, but you put it. He has the list of the 75 best horror films of all time, and he put Phantasm at 54. That's way too low. Way too low. Yeah, there's no way that Rec 2 is better than Phantasm. There's no way that. That Black Sunday, well, Black Sunday's great, but I don't think it's better than Phantasm. Poltergeist is not better than Phantasm. And that's at 30, and Phantasm's at 54. We got a little explaining to do, I think. So, but no, Phantasm was one of those movies that that really, I mean, you know, we've talked about it many times. And then there are four more chapters to the Phantasm universe. They just wrapped it up a couple of years ago with the last Phantasm movie, which is Ravager, which is actually a terrific movie. Really, really terrific. The best movie since the original. So, all right. We're talking, it's the spooktacular. What are your favorite scary movies? What movies freak you out? Best horror movies, 312-981-7200. Here's Rich on WGN. Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich. Hi, good morning, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
Have to chime in on a spooktacular. Can't miss out on that. I like all the expected horror classics, Halloween, Exorcist, or Alien, all those and all the great scenes for them. But I also like movies that have these scare like scenes that are they're viscerally scary and they're done kind of unexpectedly and mainly with a really low budget. And if you can produce like really chilling, memorable scenes with virtually no effects or no money and they stick with you, that I think that really deserves merit. One of them that always sticks out to me is a scene, and I'm sure you've seen the movie. I think I've mentioned it, too, in the past. It's a scene from a movie, Open Water, at the end of the movie when the screen goes pitch black, if you know that scene.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about, yeah.
Yeah, and just the feeling and the dread of that, that it never leaves my head, and I think that's a really scary scene from a pretty riveting movie. Another one is the very last scene from the famous trilogy of terror on TV.
Yeah.
As the camera zoomed in on Karen Black, just slowly dollied in on her as she was just like hitting the knife into the floor.
Yeah, no, that's the Trilogy of Terror during the past few weeks, because we've been talking about scary movies. Trilogy of Terror has come up several times, and that's the moment that freaks me out. The doll, I think the doll's cool. Like, I mean, when I was a kid, I thought the doll was kind of scary, but now when I watch Trilogy of Terror, I think the doll's cool, and you know, running around, I get a kick out of it. But that's that final shot of Karen Black with the teeth, when she reveals the teeth, and she's waiting for her mother to come over, and she's crouched down with the knife. That's terrifying. That's a really, really scary moment. And as we were talking about before, nobody really remembers the other two stories in that movie. That was a TV movie that had three stories. It was an anthology horror movie inspired by Richard Matheson's stories, directed by Dan Curtis, adapted and directed by Dan Curtis, who created Dark Shadows and a bunch of other really cool TV horror things. Everybody on the planet remembers the voodoo doll and remembers that story, but nobody remembers the other two stories. Nobody does. All three of them starred Karen Black. She was the female lead in all three of the stories, but only the doll story, the final one, gets remembered. Everybody else just forget everything else they forget about that movie. But Trilogy of Terror, an absolute classic, and every time we talk about horror movies and every time we do a spooktacular, every year, every single year, Trilogy of Terror gets mentioned several times. So, Rich, thanks for the call. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. If you would like to join us, we're talking about what's your favorite scary movies or what's your favorite scary scenes and what are your favorite horror movies and movies to watch for Halloween. 312-981-7200. Here is Ike in Country Club Hills. Hi, Ike.
Hey, Nick. Happy Halloween to you.
Happy Halloween, man.
Yeah. I'm actually watching a werewolf movie for the first time. It's not my favorite horror movie. I'm gonna mention that in a minute. But this is the first time I'm watching it. The Howling. I'm watching.
Well, you've never seen The Howling?
Never seen that.
Wow.
I remember glancing at it, but
it's a classic.
I'm watching it.
It's a classic. Yeah, it's a classic. Absolutely. Directed by Joe Dante. It's a great movie. Yeah.
Oh man, I'm liking it right now. Okay. This is my favorite werewolf movie, but it's also my favorite horror movie of all time. It really changed everything for it, especially for the way it comes to dark humor for sure. American Werewolf in London.
Yeah, American Werewolf in London is a classic. There's no question about it. Directed by John Landis, he made that movie after the Blues Brothers, right after the Blues Brothers, and he always wanted to make a horror movie. And the thing about American Werewolf in London is that, you know, not only were Rick Baker's effects fantastic, but by the way, you're watching The Howling. Rob Bottin, who did the effects for The Thing, did the transformation scenes and the effects for The Howling, and they're fantastic. They're fantastic.
Yeah, I know that Rick Baker was involved, and I noticed John Landis got kicked off him, so he left The Howling to do American Werewolf in London.
Yeah. So Rob Bottin did the effects, ended up getting the credit and the effects for The Howling, who he would go on to do the effects for The Thing, Rob Bottin, which are the greatest practical makeup effects of all time in any movie. But not only is the transformation scene in American Werewolf in London really great, but it's a really funny movie. That's the other thing about it, is American Werewolf in London is really funny, and it's gory, and it's really scary. It's a great movie. It is a classic. It's a great
thing. Yeah, it led the way for those type of horror movies that had humor. I mean, you can tell it probably led the way for Scream.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, thanks, Ike.
No problem.
All right, take care, buddy. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We are talking about scary movies. It's Halloween. We got some phone lines open, 312-981-7200. If you want to text us, use that same number. And we are doing our spooktacular, the 21st annual Halloween spooktacular. And Fartula can't believe it.
Open the coffin. Let me out.
Yeah. How did he do that one two times in a row? Because he did that one with Dana. That's the first time we've ever had that happen. Dana seemed really impressed with Count Fartula, don't you think?
Like any good wife, she just put up with it.
She's like, yes, that's why we're, you know, when we get married, we will end up divorced.
Wrong switch, Igor.
All right, the guys are here, Fartula and Count Fartula and Fartenstein, before we put them away in storage for another 11 months. But the phone lines and text lines are open, and we're talking scary movies at 312-981-7200. We'll do more right after this. Dan, you care to try and guess how many times this will be played today?
Oh, yeah.
My favorite horror score of all time, we played a little bit earlier. That's Goblin score for the original Suspiria. But this is without question the most iconic horror theme of all time. And John Carpenter, the genius, composed it. Dan, did you know that this... For a long period of time was Jamie Lee Curtis's ringtone.
Oh, that's awesome.
I think that's fantastic. Like, if you're sitting in you see Jamie Lee Curtis like at a grocery store, and you're like, oh, that's Jamie Lee Curtis, and suddenly you hear this, and she answers her phone, you immediately think she's even cooler than she already is. You know what I mean? Like, that was her ringtone. It's a lot of people's ringtones, actually. It's a very, very popular ringtone. So anyway, that's the theme from Halloween, and it is Halloween. Happy Halloween, everybody. And we're talking about great horror movies now. We're going to get into some bad horror movies, and we'll do some horror TV and talk about books that scare us because it's scary, scary time. It's Halloween. 312-981-7200. That's all coming up. And coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom here on WGN Radio. All right. And let's say hello to this guy.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
Yeah.
Ah! Ah! Ah!
The garlic gets me every time.
Yeah.
Ah!
It's the, of course, the screaming dude from the Scary Sounds CD.
Ah!
Which we've had for, I believe, 20 of the 21 scary spooktaculars.
Ah!
Ah! I know cats are going nuts all over the place right now. Dogs are waking up their, you know, their owners. Yeah. I just want to wait till his friends come in, and then we'll cut it down.
Ah!
Yeah.
Ah!
There they are. There's his buddies. Yep. And then they just leave the poor guy, and then he's all alone. Yeah. All right. It goes on, by the way, for another 45 seconds. I just wanted to make sure people are aware that that's an endurance test. And like I said to you on the first time that Gary and I played that, it's 2 minutes. It's a solid 2 minutes. The first time we played that, the phones went nuts. People were calling in going, what the hell is that? And there were animals going crazy in everybody's houses, which I'm sure you still get when we play it. I'm sure you get those phone calls or those texts.
Indeed,
my,
yep.
And my cat went nuts. My dog's running around. So, yeah, that's the best $4.99 I think that Gary Lee Wright ever spent. So, Scary Sounds. We bust that thing out, too, every year. All right, it is the Halloween Spooktacular. Texts are coming in, and we want to hear from you guys. Call or text right now. We're talking about your scariest movies, scariest moments, favorite Halloween movies. 312-981-7200. 301 area code says, favorite scary movies, The Lady in White. That's a really good, scary ghost movie. Really underrated film. Came out in 1988. And nobody has really seen that movie. Dan, have you ever seen The Lady in White?
I have not.
It's a really scary movie. And it's there's nothing really, there's nothing gory about it. It's like a PG-13. Yeah, and it's really good. And then The Changeling, oh, this person likes ghost movies. In the 301 area code, because The Changeling is a really great movie. George C. Scott's in that, and that's about a haunted house. And it's got The Changeling has, until Hereditary came out, this year, Changeling had the scariest seance scene of all time. The best and scariest seance scene of all time was in The Changeling until Hereditary. And then Hereditary just kind of kicked that one right in the butt. That's the horror movie of the year, by the way, if you're wondering. Hereditary, terrifying, which I believe it's available. I don't have it at home. I believe it's available now on DVD. I know it's on video on demand. And The Uninvited from 1941. A great scary moment is when the ghost hovers over the protagonist while he's in bed in the British TV version of The Woman in Black. It's probably on YouTube. That The Woman in Black, not the TV version, but the Woman in Black, the version with Daniel Radcliffe from a few years ago is really scary. That's a really creepy, scary movie. Dan in Michigan says, I love you, Nick, but Halloween 3 was dog poop. I hated it then, and I still do. Halloween 3 rules. Peter in Decatur says, Halloween 3 is on again on AMC right now, and I'm watching. The last several days have been Halloween movie marathons on AMC. Halloween 3, man. I just love the movie. God, did people hate it. They were so angry. But the angriest movie crowd that I had ever been with was for a WGCI screening, sponsored screening, of Brian De Palma's Raising Kane with John Lithgow. People went nuts at the end of the movie, booing, screaming, throwing popcorn, throwing pop at the screen. It was at the Burnham Plaza Theater in the South Loop. And the angriest crowd ever, second only, and Halloween 3 is second only to that screening. 630 area code. Not sure if it's considered horror, but the movie Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer is so hard to watch. Yeah, no, that's a horror movie, 630. That is definitely a horror movie, and it's one of the most terrifying films ever made. Oaken had to leave during a scene of that movie. You knew that, right, Dan?
Oh, yeah, I remember you telling that
story.
There's
a scene where they videotape themselves during a home invasion, like raping and killing everybody in the house, and Scott was like, I gotta go. And he got up, and he's another one of these guys who can handle that kind of stuff. And I can handle that stuff, too. Henry's amazing and terrifying and brilliantly scary. And the great John McNaughton lives right here in Chicago, directed that movie. Was shot here in Chicago. Michael Rooker was in it. The late, great Tom Tolles. And here's a quick story, because I know we got to hit the news here. Quick story. The first time I saw that movie was at Midnight Show at the Music Box. At a Midnight Show at the Music Box. Well, I went with Scott and a few other friends, and we're all there, and we all completely freaked out. The character Otis, which is played by the late, great Tom Tolles, is even more terrifying than the character Henry. Like, he's even worse. He's even more disgusting and horrifying and terrifying. And so brilliantly and scarily played by Tom Tolles. So the movie ends, and we're all like, oh, my God. It's like 2 o'clock in the morning, so we were just going to go find a 4 o'clock bar because we needed booze after seeing that movie because it was so damn traumatic. We walk out into the lobby. Tom Tolles is in the lobby, like, saying hello to people. He was at the screen. I saw him. You realize the guy's just an actor, but you just saw him do horrific things for an hour and a half, and then he's in the lobby after a midnight show? I don't need that in my life. No, Henry, that's a legendary movie. Absolutely legendary. All right, the news is coming up next. Anybody who grew up in Chicago and of a certain age, in your 50s, you used to hear this theme song every Saturday night at 10:30 when you were watching Channel 9 Creature Features. Henry Mancini, Experiment in Terror. That was the theme that they used every week on Creature Features, where I saw all of my first horror movies, basically watching that when I was like four years old. Learning about all the Universal Monster movies and all that cool stuff. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. It is the Halloween Spooktacular, the 21st Halloween Spooktacular. Yeah! Boo! 312-981-7200. Phone lines, text lines are open. What are your favorite Halloween movies, your favorite scary moments, and your favorite scary movies? We'll get into bad horror movies, too, and some horror TV and talk books that are scary. 312-981-7200. So we were talking about the scariest movies of all time, and it was funny because, Dan, I was telling you that we were talking a little bit earlier that, you know, a few weeks ago, Jamie Lee Curtis was everywhere, you know, promoting the new Halloween movie, which sucks, by the way. The new Halloween movie sucks. If you're thinking about going to see a movie for Halloween, I would skip that one. But she was doing some... you know, a lot of press for it. And that's where she was talking about how she used to have that as her ringtone for many years and all that stuff. And she was doing one of these junket things, not a junket thing. She was doing like some local morning show. And, you know, when you do these things, it's interview after interview after interview. They schedule like 50 interviews in one weekend or like 10 in one day. So it's all a blur. A lot of them are short, and you only got to get, you know, the people who are interviewing them, the entertainment reporters, are just hitting bullet points, you know, and not doing like an in-depth interview. One of these idiots, and she's there, and I believe David Gordon Green was sitting next to her. David Gordon Green, who directed the new Halloween movie, is sitting next to her. And you can tell because they're like it's one of those sets, you know, Dan, it's one of those sets that is a morning show set.
Sure.
Because you know how they look exactly, like every morning show
right.
set looks exactly the same
couches
now.
And...
couches, and they're all like, now they're all out, you know, like you can see outside the windows, or, you know, you can see the people on the streets, or you can see the buildings outside. They're all essentially the same, except for WGN Morning News, which is the best. But anyway, she's on, and the guy says to her, "This is I'm not making this up." The guy says to her, "Do people still try to scare you by putting hockey masks on?" And the look on Jamie Lee Curtis's face was like, "You idiot!" You know, like that, because the hockey mask is Jason, not Michael Myers. The Michael Myers mask is the altered William Shatner Captain Kirk mask. That's the. So if people were putting those masks on that to scare Jamie Lee Curtis, that would have been the correct question. But to say hockey mask, and she was very polite about it, you know, but the look on her face after, because I saw it on YouTube, the look on her face after he asked her that question was like, what? Like she looked at him like, you are the dumbest person that has ever interviewed me. and you are the dumbest person that's ever interviewed me, and I've been interviewed by Nick DiGilio. So there you go. So I just thought that was a fun moment while she was out there doing the thing. All right, here's Glenn on WGN. Hi, Glenn.
Hey, morning, Nick. How you doing?
All right.
I think my favorite probably, well, you know, there's a lot. I saw Frankenstein when I was a kid. I really like The Exorcist.
Yeah, it's a classic. Yeah.
But I was telling Dan, I said, I remember watching the original 13 Ghosts on TV. I mean, there's no gore. It's all suspense. Over my grand.
Yeah.
Huh?
Now, I was just going to say, 13 Ghosts was just on Svengoolie Saturday. He just showed it.
Was it?
Yeah, he just showed it this past Saturday, yeah.
I liked it. You know, it's with the 3D effect kind of on TV kind of takes away from it. But I looked over at my grandson. He was about 7, 8 years old at the time. And he was watching the movie between his fingers.
Yeah.
Because it's a suspense, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's sometimes as simple as, oh, by the way, my ringtone is one missed call.
Oh, there you go. So you like the scary ringtones, too. All right, Glenn, one missed call. Five people are going to get that reference when the phone rings. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah, 13 Ghosts was on Svengoolie just this past Saturday, and if you're going to watch Svengoolie this week, classic TV movie. You know, we were talking about Trilogy of Terror earlier. Another great TV horror movie, Gargoyles, is being shown on Svengoolie this Saturday. I loved that movie when I was a kid. Oh, my God. And I had, like, a super crush on Jennifer Salt. Jennifer Salt is sexy in that movie. I was very young when I saw that movie, but I was like, ooh, she's an attractive woman. I enjoy her. You know, I remember, like, at a very young age, I sort of had, like, sexual awakenings by watching horror movies. And they were all the Hammer movies did it to me. All the Hammer movies. Carolyn Monroe and Ingrid Pitt. Oh, man. And the women in the Hammer movies was ridiculous. It was like, I was watching all the Universal black and white movies, and then suddenly they're all in color. There's boobs everywhere. And I was like, what's happening to me? Something's happening. But yeah, if you look up Carolyn Monroe, and that's M-U-N-R-O, Carolyn Monroe, and you look up Ingrid Pitt, those were my two favorite Hammer ladies. And they were, and Carolyn Monroe actually also played a Bond girl. She was in a couple of Sinbad movies. So Carolyn Monroe was a big part of my youth. Yeah, that was just the Hammer movies. The take that they did on those classic monster movies was so different that it freaked me out. Like, I was like, whoa, this is not like the Dracula that I just saw. So. But yeah, Jennifer Salt in Gargoyles. Oh, yeah. All right, here's Gary on WGN. Hi, Gary.
Hello, Nick. How are you?
All right.
Good. I was wondering if you remember a soap opera named Dark Shadows.
Oh, of course. Of course. We've talked about Dark Shadows many times.
Yeah, I thought it was really, really eerie and awesome, you know?
Yeah, I don't know if you have you gone back and watched it recently, Gary?
Yeah, I own a lot of DVDs on that.
Oh, okay. I was going to say don't. Don't do that, because it's going to ruin childhood memories for you, because as an adult, I went back and watched Dark Shadows, and it's terrible.
It's improved and everything, you know, it's true, but that show is just so awesome and overlooked, you
well,
know?
Yeah, when I was a kid, it scared the hell out of me, Dark Shadows. And
I know it. Same with me.
All right, Gary, thanks, man. My mom tells the story about how I would stand behind the couch and peek my head around when Dark Shadows was on. Like, I was really scared, so I'd stand behind the couch, but I would peek my head around while it was on, and my mom would say, if it's too scary for you, I'll change the channel. And I'm like, no, keep it on. And then I'd hide behind the couch again. But I remember, because it had been years since I had seen Dark Shadows, and one of the cable channels showed it. They showed a marathon of them, and I was like, oh, man, Dark Shadows. And I was like, halfway through the first episode that I had and I was watching, I'm like, wow, does this suck? Oh my God, is this bad? Text here, Julie, The Fog with Adrian Barbeau, great movie. Underrated John Carpenter. Well, like most John Carpenter movies, underrated. And Magic with Anthony Hopkins. Magic came out the week before the movie Halloween. And I remember when Siskel reviewed Halloween, his quote was, "I wish I had never said that Magic was the scariest movie I've ever seen, because now it's not the case anymore." But Magic's a great movie. And I met Anthony Hopkins when he came to town. I was part of the Chicago Film Critics Association, which I am still. But we had the Chicago Chicago Film Critic Awards. And Jonathan Demme, Jodie Foster didn't come out, but Jonathan Demme did, Anthony Hopkins, the screenwriter, the producer, they all came out, and I met Anthony Hopkins. And so Magic came out in 1978, and this was early 1992 when they came into town, you know, to accept their awards for Silence of the Lambs. And I met Anthony Hopkins, lovely man. And I asked him if he could still do, because, you know, have you seen Magic, Dan?
I have not.
Do you know what it is?
I do not.
Anthony Hopkins plays like a mentally unstable ventriloquist who's got a really creepy dummy named Fats. So if you look up, Dan, if you look up Magic, Fats, you'll see one of the, you know, because ventriloquist dummies are already scary. So he plays like a mentally unstable ventriloquist dummy whose Fats is the name of the dummy, and Fats basically starts to take over Anthony Hopkins' personality. And he goes nuttier and nuttier as the movie goes on. Ann Margaret's in it, Burgess Meredith, Ed Lauder, hiking up his pants, Ed Lauder. And you see Fats? If you want to take a look at Magic or Fats and Dummy or Fats Dummy Magic. And that's the dude. That's him. So,
wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the creepiest ventriloquist dummy of all time. And it's a really scary movie. It's a really, really scary movie. So when I met Anthony Hopkins in 1992, I was like, "Hey, can you still do Fats?" He busted into it, didn't move his lips.
Oh, wow.
Nailed the voice and did lines from Magic like in a millisecond. I was like, "Can you still do Fats?" And he did it. And I was like, "Oh, my God." Great. Let's see. 872 area code, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. I saw it on CBS Saturday Night Movie back in the early 80s. I remember that TV movie, Dark Knight of the Scarecrow. 847 area code, scariest scene ever is the clown scene from Poltergeist. You know, I got to say, that movie never scared me. Dan, Poltergeist, scary for you?
Never seen it.
Do you have a favorite horror movie? You don't like scary movies?
No, right? I don't like scary movies. Yeah. So.
But Poltergeist, I know everybody, you know, is on this list. It's way high on the list of scariest movies.
Right.
It just never did it for me. It never. I like the scene where the guy's face falls off in the sink. At one point, a guy's looking in the mirror, and then his face starts to fall apart, and it was, you know, in bloody chunks into the sink. That was my favorite moment in the entire movie. The only time that movie does not scare me. Poltergeist does nothing for me. Jay says Frankenstein meets the werewolf is my favorite because the film has cool castle scenes. A lot of cool castle scenes in the old Universal movies, man. Some great castle scenes. He says, "Happy Halloween." John says, "I read they wanted Kevin Bacon to be Freddy Krueger for what? For Nightmare on Elm Street, but they got Robert Englund." Kevin Bacon? Can you imagine Kevin Bacon?
No.
There would have been no Footloose, because it was Footloose. Footloose was the same year, I think, right? Footloose was 84. No, Footloose came out in early 84, and Nightmare came out in late 84. So he would have already played the guy from Footloose. And now he's going to be Freddy? That's not good casting.
Yeah, 180 there.
God. Let's see. Yeah, Mike says, "My parents took me to the drive-in when I was 7 years old. The second movie was The Town That Dreaded Sundown. It's based on a true story, and I didn't sleep for weeks." All right, Dan, before we break here, I have to tell the story about the scene from Town for Dreaded Sundown. Now you know what I'm talking about.
I do, yes.
All right. There's a scene, and it's based on a true story about a serial killer in Texas. Who wore a gunny sack on his head? A gunny sack. That's what you call him, right? Yeah. So he wore a gunny sack on his head. And he went on like a killing spree based on a true story. And one of the scenes in the movie, and if you've seen this movie, you can confirm it. It's probably online. Did we ever look it up online?
I want to say I saw the scene online.
So it's The Town That Dreaded Sundown. And one of the most ridiculous scenes in the history of any horror movie ever, which is not explained in the movie, is the killer who's killing people. He's got a woman or somebody tied to a tree. He's outside. He's got a woman tied to a tree, and he puts a knife on the end of a trombone. like tapes a knife on the end of the trombone. What do you call that thing? The slide?
I think that's called the slide.
Called the slide? Okay. He's got it on the end of the trombone slide. And he's stabbing her by going blah, blah, and like moving the trombone slide while he's blowing the trombone. So he's playing the trombone. He's playing notes on the trombone with each stab wound to the woman. And I saw that movie as a kid. And even as a kid, I'm like, this is the stupidest thing I've ever seen. He's killing her with a trombone. He's got a knife attached to the end of a trombone. Blah, 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 blah. I was like, what the hell is this? That's true. I'm not making this up. I think if you could probably, if you type in Town of the Dreaded Sundown trombone, does it pop up? It does. So, all right, let's break. We're going to get to the worst ones, too, but we're still doing best here. Best horror movies on the Spooktacular, 312-981-7200. From Halloween, man. First time you hear this theme in the movie is when Michael Myers comes out from behind Laurie Strode, Jamie Lee Curtis, tries to stab her, slices her arm, and she goes flying over the banister, goes down the stairs, and then this music starts when Michael Myers starts to walk towards her. That's the first time you hear it. You hear it several more times during the last 15 minutes of the movie, but and again, real simple theme, John Carpenter. Such a great movie. Yeah, we're talking about the Halloween movies that you love. Best horror movies of all time. Scary movies, scary moments. 312-981-7200. Let's see. We got more texts here. 815 area code says, I Am Legend to me is the scariest movie I've ever seen. I swear I had recurring nightmares. The one with Will Smith? I like that movie. I don't think it's very scary, but I like that movie. You know, Dan, I caught some hell when I gave that movie a good review.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I don't know, and seriously, I don't normally give Will Smith movies a good review. Because he's not made a lot of good movies.
Right.
I mean, I'm just Men in Black. I liked I Am Legend. I can't even think of any other ones. Steve says, The Blair Witch Project was a brilliant low-budget movie. It had a final 5 minutes was terrifying in the final scene. Yeah, listen, that's another one that's very divisive, The Blair Witch Project, because a lot of people hate that movie. I think it's great. I think it's incredibly scary. And one of the best marketed movies in the history of film. You know, one of the first to embrace the internet at a very early time. The first one to bring out the found footage thing. And it's still scary. I think Blair Witch Project is a very scary movie. First time I saw it scared the hell out of me. And the final shot is unbelievable. The final shot of Blair Witch Project is scary. 724 area code says there are the four of the scariest movies for me personally. They're not necessarily the scariest of all time, though, but my four are Jaws, Amityville Horror, Phantasm, and It's Alive, all released and seen in the theater when I was 10 to 14 years old. It's Alive is great. Killer Baby. Dan, you ever hear It's Alive?
No.
during the scene where the woman gives birth, the baby comes out, kills everybody in the room, kills the doctors, kills everybody, and then escapes. And he's a little baby monster. And the rest of the movie, they're trying to track down this like an actual monster baby. The great Larry Cohen wrote and directed it. It's a great movie, great 70s movie. But that's the opening scene. Like everybody gets killed in the operating room when she gives birth. The baby comes out and kills everybody in the room. Blood flying everywhere. It's a little monster baby too. Crazy fangs, scary face. Yeah. Remember a listener, we were talking about It's Alive a few years ago, and a listener said that he took his pregnant wife to see it. Hey, here's another thing not to do. If your wife or significant other is pregnant, do not show them Rosemary's Baby. Whatever you do, do not, because that could cause a divorce, like immediately. If you show a pregnant woman, that relationship is over. If you decide, hey, we should watch Rosemary's Baby. Jack Black did that to his pregnant wife, and she's never forgiven him. He was interviewed on that Eli Roth horror show that's on AMC. He was interviewed and said he made the mistake of showing his pregnant wife Rosemary's Baby. Not a good move. Okay, we got a break. Everybody hang on. 312-981-7200. The news is next, and then more scary stuff on the Spooktacular. Shining freaks people out. We didn't, you know, when Dana DiLorenzo, my future ex-wife, was on, we didn't talk about The Shining, because that's the other movie. We talked about her, The Exorcist, but The Shining totally freaks her out, too. That's another one. The Shining freaks people out, except for Stephen King. He hated it. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. By the way, friends, they have a Halloween episode on right now. And Lisa Kudrow looks really good in the Superman outfit. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. 312-981-7200. It is the spooktacular. Yeah! Scary. Vic, do you like scary movies?
I love them.
What is your favorite? You have any favorites?
My favorite scary... You know, you mentioned Blair Witch Project. I can't remember being as freaked out as I was in that movie.
Yeah, man.
When it came out.
No, that's a scare. It still holds up, man. That's a really...
I have not watched it since. It's scary.
Yeah, and the last shot, the final shot of that movie is a game changer, man. It's scary as hell.
Yeah.
But, yeah, that's
Jeannie
a good one.
Jeannie hates him, though. She can't stand him, so...
Oh, the scary movie? She
I rarely
like the scary
get
movie.
To see one. Yeah. I have to drag her to see one to the theater, yeah. So...
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm thinking right now, the only one that's the Suspiria comes out on the don't take her to see that, Vic. Don't.
I want you to think of the scariest movie you can imagine, and I want to watch that with her.
Well, the original Suspiria. The original Suspiria from 1977, to me, scariest movie I've ever seen.
Okay, I'm going to do it.
Oh, my God.
It might
God.
Be in the apartment, though. We'll have to watch it in the apartment, obviously.
Yeah, well, no, it's we not can't. Playing anywhere. I mean, right. the remake is out now. The remake,
but the original
is the one to watch, yeah.
I'm going
to
do it.
Oh, man, don't blame me.
Okay.
She's going to hate me. That's it.
Well, then we go around the apartment and hide in the shadows and freak each other out too.
Oh.
We make it, you know, we compound the.
Okay. No. I just want to warn you ahead of time. Suspiria does not make a lick of sense. I just want you to know that.
Okay.
It doesn't. The plot does not matter. It's all style and scares and music.
Okay, got it.
It's very beautiful to look at. It's some of the most beautiful cinematography that you'll ever see. It's very, very gory, very, very weird, very, very badly dubbed. And but unbelievably scary. So, but if you're looking for plot, you might want to go elsewhere. If you want a movie that makes sense, you might want to find something else because Suspiria doesn't make any sense.
Okay, well, thank you for the heads up.
All right, here's John on WGN. Hi, John.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
All right,
very good. Jesse, one movie that really freaks me out when I was young was The Changeling.
Yeah, we have a couple of callers mention that one. Yeah.
Yeah. In fact, I still have it on DVD right now, and every time I watch it, I get pretty flipped out.
Yeah. Well,
there are certain parts in there that really just crawl right up my spine.
Yeah. As I mentioned earlier, until this year's movie Heredity came out, The Changeling had the scariest and creepiest seance scene of all time. Like the
It did. I mean, I take one look at it, and since I see that lady going to the trance.
Yeah,
and you know she's writing, and she's pulling the paper away, and she's getting faster and faster, and I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to see this anymore.
Yeah, no, it's a scary movie, man. It's a scary movie.
Yeah, I was listening. Not to get off the subject, but I was listening to some paranormal stuff the other night on the radio. I was just kind of tooling around, and I'll tell you something, y'all. Some of the stories I heard about people having experiences like that. It is really creepy to hear that stuff. I mean, that really does happen, I believe.
Well, you know, the paranormal stuff is very, very popular, especially late at night. If you're listening to the radio late at night, all those classic times when Richard Crowe would visit the overnight hours, whether it be Eddie or whether it be Steve and Johnny, those were people listened and loved that stuff. They love hearing the story of Resurrection Mary and all the other scary places that are at around Illinois. So, yeah, no, people love that kind of stuff. All right. So let's see what else we've got here. I'm going to fly down Weinberg's list here. He's got Friday the 13th. I've never liked the Friday the 13th movie. I like the third one in 3D because Jason squeezes a dude's head and his eye pops out and flies into your face. That's my favorite moment in that movie. So, Saw, the original Saw. I like the original Saw. I think that they got progressively worse. Although I think Saw 3 is the best of the series for two reasons. One, Shawnee Smith is pretty much the star, and I love Shawnee Smith. Oh, do I love Shawnee Smith. Shawnee Smith is pretty much the star of the third of Saw movie. There's a lot of her in it, so I like that. And they correct all the flaws that were in the first movie. So, like, all of the logical flaws, like, because there's a big surprise ending at the end of Saw, and then, like, after you see it, and maybe you see it a second time, you go, that doesn't make sense. There's no way that could have happened. How did this not happen? And they correct every single one of those in Saw 3. And I thought that was really cool. I was like, okay, you know that the first movie has some real logistical problems and has some basic flaws that make no sense, and they went back, corrected every one of them. The Orphanage, a really scary movie. Beautiful movie, not gory at all. J.A. Bayonum directed that. He just directed the last Jurassic Park movie. He directed A Monster Calls. And that's a really, The Orphanage is a really scary movie. Return of the Living Dead, the punk rock zombie movie from the 80s. Hilarious and great. The Witch from a few years ago. Oh, boy. Whew. The Babadook, which I think is one of the best horror movies of the past 10 years. Easily. Carrie. Too low on the list, Weinberg. What's the matter with you, man? 69, Carrie? No. Much higher. Carrie's a really scary movie. The Innocents and The Others he put together. Those are both great ghost movies. The Others is a really terrific movie. Nicole Kidman. Martyrs, that movie sucked. It was terrible. That was torture porn. The original Frankenstein. Dead of Night. There's another one, Dan, featuring a ventriloquist dummy. That's an anthology movie. I can't remember how many stories. Four or five stories in it. And one of them is about a guy who goes nuts with his anthology dummy, with his ventriloquist dummy. Cabin in the Woods, I love that movie from the great Drew Goddard, whose latest movie is a complete flop, but people should have gone and seen it. That's Bad Times at El Royale. Cabin in the Woods, really clever, really good. Don't Look Now, a terrifying movie. Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie. Man, the ending of that movie is so scary. It's a really creepy movie. That's a ghost movie, too, kind of. Lots of supernatural stuff in that one, but man. Silence of the Lambs, no. It Follows, another great modern horror movie. Creepshow, the original Creepshow, George Romero. Don't watch it if you have a phobia of bugs or cockroaches. Not one to watch. The Descent, really scary. My ex-wife, Heather, one of her favorite movies of all time is The Descent. We saw it together, you know, because it came out in 2005 when we were dating at that time. And we saw it in the theater together, and she completely freaked out and loved it. Carnival of Souls, precursor to Night of the Living Dead from 1962. Very creepy movie. Number 55 is Get Out from last year. Jordan Peele's really terrific movie. 54, again, I talked about that earlier. Way too low on the list. Phantasm should be higher. The original Hellraiser comes in next. Those movies are pretty cool. The first one is great. The first one is, like, legitimately great. Scream, the original. I like all of the Scream movies. I think all four of the Scream movies are good. I think they're all good. I mean, the first one is the best. There's no question about it. The first one remains the best. And it was groundbreaking, and it was clever, and it was one of the very first sort of meta movies. Although, Wes Craven made Wes Craven's New Nightmare before he made Scream. Wes Craven's New Nightmare is the best of since the first Nightmare movie. It's by far the best since the first one, and it's a great, really scary movie, but it's also very meta. And that was before Scream. So he did that. Wes Craven made an even more meta movie before he made Scream, and that was Wes Craven's New Nightmare. Horror of Dracula, my favorite Dracula movie of all time. Christopher Lee, the great Peter Cushing, Peter Cushing is one of my heroes ever, and this is like a holiday where Peter Cushing, you could watch 27 Peter Cushing movies in a row. Both versions of The Blob are on the list. This is one of those cases where the remake is better. And it is. The remake is actually better than the original Blob. Because the remake from The Blob is from 1988. The original Blob's a really stupid movie. It's a very silly movie. It's fun to watch, and it's got a great theme song from 1958. The original Blob, Steve McQueen, one of his first movies, if not his first. But the only thing that I take away from the original Blob is the theme song. Black Christmas, one of my favorite movies of all time. I watch it every Christmas, and it's a scary movie, a really, really scary movie. Bob Clark directed it, and oddly, Bob Clark also directed A Christmas Story. So he's directed two of the best Christmas movies of all time. One of them terrifying, and the other one, a classic. The original House of Wax, Wait Until Dark, which has one of the biggest jumps in the history of movies at the end of that movie. When Alan Arkin jumps up out of the Out of the Darkness. Frailty, directed by the late, great Bill Paxton with Matthew McConaughey. A tremendous movie. The original Hitcher? The Hitcher, man. Again, that didn't need to be remade. But those are some of the other ones that are terrific. May, a criminally underrated movie, an underseen movie. Angela Bettis giving one of the best horror performances of all time. If you've not seen May, I highly recommend it. And we got more. We got texts coming in. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. We're going to get to terrible horror movies because there are plenty of those. And we'll talk about horror TV, Halloween-themed TV shows. And I'm still I'm being distracted by Lisa Kudrow in that Supergirl outfit. we'll talk about that. And books, too. And I want to reassure Vic that I did not leave a copy of Pet Sematary in the newsroom. I'm talking about the book, not the movie.
That would be so cool. I would never share again.
Like if I just hid it somewhere in the newsroom and you found it. Oh man! All right, let's take a break. We got the weather, and we'll come back more spooktacular. Boo! Spooktacular, everybody. Get in here, 312-981-7200. Welcome back, everybody. Scary time. Ooh. Oh. Ah. 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 Hey, what would he sound like with reverb? Ah. Have we ever tried that? I don't think we've ever tried that.
Oh, look at this. Can we pull this off? Although it does sound a lot like man falling down a well.
It does with that on it, yeah. Because that's what they did. They just had Well, there we go. All those years, I don't think we've ever tried that before with the reverb. Screaming dude with the reverb. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN, and we are talking about scary stuff, and we're going to get to bad horror movies and Halloween-themed TV shows and scary books and anything scary. If you want to jump in, 312-981-7200 for talk and text, 312-981-7200. It is our 21st annual scary Halloween spooktacular. Yeah. Also coming up, the stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. All right. Text. Let's read some text, shall we? Yes. Jane in Windsor, Ontario says, Nick, have you ever seen Circus of Horrors? It's British. I loved it as a kid in the early 60s. Yeah, I've seen it. It's a great movie. It basically, if it's a British horror movie, I've seen it. That's just something that I did when I was a kid. I watched a lot of British horror. 847 area code, Near Dark with Lance Hendrickson. He rocks. Yes, he does. One of the coolest guys I've ever met, too. And he's in so many great movies. Near Dark is one of my favorite movies of all time. And I know that when I would appear on Steve and Johnny's show, to talk Halloween and scary movies, we always, all three of us, would talk about how much we love Near Dark. So, Trucker Phil says, I also love the Halloween movies. Of course, I love Jamie Lee Curtis. I still love Abbott and Costello Meet the Wolfman, Frankenstein, and Dracula movies. So, he's covering all the classics. 815 area code, The House on Haunted Hill, the original 1959 version. You kind of can't go wrong with Vincent Price. Vincent Price has made many, many, many really great scary Halloween movies. 708 area code says that the scariest movie I've ever seen in my life is my wedding video. Hang on a minute. Hold on. Wait a minute now. Oh man! You know, Colin did my second. You were at my second wedding, weren't you, Dan?
Oh yeah,
yeah, you were there. Colin did the video. Haven't seen it in years. I don't even know if I still have it. I might still have it. I don't know. He did a great job, though. If you guys are looking for a videographer for your wedding, Colin Suter, our good buddy, Colin Suter does them, and he does a great job. He did a great job with ours. It was better than our marriage. 224 area code says, I never saw Dark Shadows during its original one and during its original run, but I saw some of them when the digital TV channel Decades. It was very entertaining, and I would like to see more of it. Yeah, it's entertaining, but it's not good. Dark Shadows is very entertaining because it's so bad. 319 area code says, of course, Halloween 1 is a masterpiece. It's like a Van Gogh painting. Perfect story, perfect scenes, perfect cast and director, perfect music score. However, there is a movie that is fairly new, and it's called Creep 1 and Creep 2. There is no gore, but it's just two chapters. One, the crazy, creepy person, and the other, the distressed, helpless person who you pity very, very bad. Mark Duplass plays the creep. It's very good. Okay. I don't know that movie. Chris in Elk Grove says, even though the zombies are blue, the original Dawn of the Dead still scares me. The gore and the soundtrack by Goblin is terrifying. As for newer horror movies that scared me, I love Trick or Treat, The Collector, The Collection, and Wolf Creek. The original Dawn of the Dead is the best zombie movie ever made. Now, I know a lot of people would say Night of the Living Dead, and I know Night of the Living Dead was groundbreaking, and Romero set the mythology up brilliantly, and it is a great, 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 great movie, one of the best horror movies ever made, but the best zombie movie ever made is the original Dawn of the Dead. As far as I'm concerned, he topped it. Dawn of the Dead tops Night of the Living Dead. Mayra in Puerto Rico says, I'm sorry, but Hereditary was the stupidest movie. No, sorry, you're wrong. Hereditary is my favorite movie of the year so far, and it's scary as hell. If you want to see a movie without plot and a low budget, see The Raven. The Raven is one of the goofiest movies ever made. I love it. A 570 area code says Alone in the Dark. Oh, my God, Alone in the Dark. I haven't seen that movie in a long time. It was ridiculous, that movie. Let's see real quick. Here's Walker on WGN. Hi, Walker.
Yeah, hi there. Hey. Yeah, I was thinking about how They've been making hybrid movies, blending science fiction and horror. Mm-hmm. The foremost of this is Event Horizon with Lawrence Fishburne.
Yep.
where it was a transdimensional ship that went off somewhere and came back years later, and apparently it had gone to hell and dragged back some hell with it. And if you died on that ship, you would go there. You know, it's a creepy movie. But it blended science fiction and horror, which is something, you know, it's not really done much.
Yeah, no, you know, you're right. And then I haven't seen Event Horizon since it came out, so it's been many years since I've seen it. But I was surprised at how scary and gory it was. That's an excellent example.
Yeah, and also I would also mention that the remake of Dawn of the Dead was based on the Milwaukee area where I'm at. You know, in fact, the mall that they used was apparently the Brookfield Mall.
Oh, okay, all right, yeah. Walker, thanks, man.
Oh, and nothing. If you listen to them, you know, like the radio reports, you talk about racing and you know things going on there.
Right.
And another thing that it's the head of the Marcus Film Corporation. He's mentioned in there when they met the guy with the yacht, you know,
right.
The guy with the yacht that screwed everybody over. His name is Stephen Marcus.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. I have to go back. I haven't seen the remake of Dawn of the Dead in a while, which, by the way, was better than I had ever thought it was going to be. And that's kind of how I feel about the remake of Suspiria, too. All right. The news is coming up next. 312-981-7200. Welcome back. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios. It's Halloween. I love Halloween. Yeah. And it's the 21st annual Nick DiGilio Halloween Spooktacular. And we've been hanging out, talking about scary movies. We're going to talk about bad scary movies and some TV stuff. And, of course, we have our old Halloween friends with us.
Trick or treat!
Yeah. Yeah, they're our buddies.
The wind beneath my wing.
That's right. Welcome back, everybody. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. We're talking about great horror movies, and we'll get to bad horror movies and some Halloween TV stuff, too. we've mentioned a few of these movies. I've got some audio here from some movies, and let me play a few of these. We'll play a few scenes from some classic horror movies here.
Give me your gun. Come on over there. Put the gun down.
I'll show you with the box. What was in the box?
Because I envy your normal life.
Put the gun down, baby.
It seems that envy is my sin.
Oh, what's in the box?
Not taking. Give me the
what's
gun.
In the box?
Give me the gun.
You just told you.
Yeah, man. Now, Dan, you like that movie.
I do like that movie.
That's a horror movie.
It's a horror movie, yes.
Yeah. That's Seven, by the way, for those of you who what's in the box? That's, of course, pretty legendary. All right, how about this one? We've mentioned this one's been mentioned a few times this morning.
Little pigs, let me come in. Not by the hair on your chinny chin chin. Then I'll huff, and I'll puff, and I'll blow your house in.
Yeah. That's The Shining. That one's been mentioned a bunch of times. This one's been mentioned a lot this morning and every year.
You ask me what I think is best for your daughter. 6 months under observation in the best hospital you can find.
You show me Regan's double. Same face, same voice, everything. And I'd know it wasn't Regan. I'd know in my gut. I'm telling you that that thing upstairs isn't my daughter.
That's a scary movie, man. Have you seen The Exorcist, Dan?
Once.
That's I believe that's a common response. Have you seen The Exorcist? Once! Oh, man. That tops so many lists for people. All right, here is one that just has been remade. I saw it Monday night, and it opens Friday.
She had discovered that the TAM Academy was founded in 1895 by a certain Helena Marcos, a Greek immigrant, and that the local people believed her to be a witch. I guess you knew that.
No, but I have a strange feeling that somebody already told me about it. Or something similar. I can't remember.
It's weird to play dialogue scenes from Suspiria, because it's not known for its snappy dialogue, you know? And that guy who was telling Jessica Harper about, you know, the Helena Marcos legend, that voice does not fit that dude at all. Because it's an Italian horror movie, Dario Argento's 1977 masterpiece. Suspiria, in my opinion, is the scariest movie I've ever seen. It was dubbed pretty poorly. Yeah, but it's still, I think, the scariest movie. And I was so set against the remake of this movie that Luca Guadagnino did. I was so angry about it when I heard about it, because Suspiria is a very distinctive movie. It's unlike any other horror movie ever made, and it is a singular vision, and it's a visionary vision at that, by the one and only Dario Argento. Why would anybody want to try and remake or repeat what Dario Argento did? Because nobody else can do it. And I went in with I had a negative attitude about it, very angry about the fact that they remade Suspiria. And then as it got closer to the opening and I started to read things about it and hear the buzz and see a couple of scenes in the trailers, I was like, maybe it'll be good. And I loved it. I loved it. Now, let me say, it is a completely different movie. It's obviously, you know, same characters and same sort of situations from the original movie. But in every possible way, it is a different movie from Argento's Suspiria. Guadagnino wanted to make the movie based on how he felt while watching the original Suspiria, and he successfully does that. I can tell you that. I mean, he really successfully does that, and he adds a lot of political stuff to it. He moved it to Berlin, to East and West Berlin, during terrorist conflicts. It takes place in 1977 in Berlin, and 1977 was when the original movie was released, but it didn't take place in Berlin, it took place in Germany, but a different part of Germany, and there was no politics in it. It was just girl from America goes to German dance school, and it's run by witches. That's it. That's all that you need to know about the original Suspiria. This one's got a much more complicated plot. It's also an hour longer than the original Suspiria. This movie is 2.5 hours long. It plays like a grotesque, insane, I mean, bat crap crazy, insane movie that's an art film. It plays like an art film. It's a completely different movie, and I loved it. I think it's great. I think the new Suspiria is great. I do not recommend it for everyone. And it opens wide, like wide by suburbs, malls, places like that. And I guarantee you walkouts, I guarantee you, because I'm going to give it a great review on Monday morning when we review it officially, and I guarantee you that listeners are going to be pissed at me because I gave it a great review. This is not for everyone. There is a lot of really screwed up stuff in this movie, like deeply, disturbingly screwed up stuff, including a lot of gore and a lot of nudity and a lot of insane dancing. But I loved it. And I did. It's one of the biggest 180s I've ever done. Because when I heard that they were remaking Suspiria, which is a movie that I adore, I couldn't even get to the point of anger. I couldn't even tell you. So, all right. So anyway, that scene was from Suspiria. Here's a real subtle one.
Things happen here about, they'll tell about. I see things. You see, they say it's just an old man talking. You laugh at an old man. There's them that laughs and knows better.
Texas Chainsaw Massacre. That's not been mentioned. How has Texas Chainsaw Massacre not been mentioned this morning?
That's a good point.
One of the greatest horror movies ever made. In my top five of all time. Because my top five of all time are Halloween, Dawn of the Dead, Suspiria, Phantasm, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Those to me are the five, those are my five favorite horror movies of all time. All right. This one didn't get mentioned either this morning.
They're probably watching me. Well, let them. Let them see what kind of a person I am. I'm not even going to swat that fly. I hope they are watching. They'll see. They'll see and they'll know. And they'll say, why, she wouldn't even harm a fly.
People are freaking out right now. There are people freaking out. That's Psycho. And that's another one that has not been mentioned. One of the greatest horror films of all time, which, of course, Alfred Hitchcock referred to as a comedy. All right. This one was mentioned just recently. The great Lance Hendrickson and the great Catherine Bigelow directed this, and this is a great, great horror movie.
Bought yourself some time, son.
Hey, Jesse, there's something I'm meaning to ask you.
Yeah, what might that be?
How old are you?
Let's put it this way. I fought for the South.
South?
We lost.
That is such a great movie, man. Near Dark, the great Lance Hendrickson. That's one of my favorites. This one's been mentioned, and again, I'm in the minority on this one, but I don't think this movie's scary at all.
Now clear your minds. It knows what scares you. It has from the very beginning. Don't give it any help. It knows too much already. Now, open the door.
That's, of course, Poltergeist. And then finally, got one more clip here to play. And yeah, please.
What's the boogeyman?
As a matter of fact, it was.
Oh my God, he's gone. There it is. All right, those are just some clips here. And we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about bad horror movies, like real bad ones. Just briefly mention a few really crappy horror movies. What are some of the ones that didn't scare you that you thought were stupid? And we've got some Halloween TV stuff we're going to talk about as well. It's the crazy, the spooktacular continues. We'll talk about some, have some fun with some bad horror movies and talk about Halloween TV. 312-981-7200 is the phone number. This music is from a movie that's been mentioned a few times this morning, and that's The Bride of Frankenstein. The Bride of Frankenstein, widely considered one of the greatest horror films ever made, and by a lot of people thinking it's the best of the Universal monster movies, and I would agree with that statement as well. It's a great film. If you've not seen it, you definitely should. Hey, we are back. It's Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here till 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and Steve Cochran has his terrifying show at 6. And by the way, they're all going to be in costume. The entire Steve Cochran show crew is going to be in costume. And I've walked past their offices, which you can see into the offices. And you're in for a treat if you're going to be watching the streaming aspect. And I know they're going to take a bunch of pictures as the morning show people get dressed up for Halloween. And there's going to be some pretty pretty good ones. So let's see, 312-981-7200 is the phone number on WGN. And yeah, so we're here and we're talking about the scary stuff, and we talked about great horror movies. Now let's turn the table. Oh, the Kit Kat dude is on. The Kit Kat pumpkin is on the commercial right now. By the way, he's my picture on my Facebook page. I put the Kit Kat pumpkin, the cat that's all, the Kit Kat pumpkin that's all really kind of doesn't look good. She messed up his face, so that's my picture on my regular Facebook page with the Kit Kat hanging out of his mouth. Here, take a break. Breaks are good. 312-981-7200 is the phone number if you would like to join us. All right, terrible horror movies. There have been plenty of these. Plenty. And I'm looking at a list here from Real Rundown, and they say The Beast of Yucca Flats is the worst horror movie ever made, and it is a bad one. It is a really, really bad one. It's been featured on Mystery Science Theater 3000 as well. That's always proof that it's a bad movie. Blood Diner from 1987. An absolutely ridiculous movie. Book of Shadows, Blair Witch 2, a terrible, terrible movie. Really doesn't have a lot to do with the, I mean, like, if anything, it has to do with the original movie at all. It was like a very, very... So, how about this one, The Creeping Terror from 1964? That's been featured on Svengoolie. Dr. Giggles. Dan, have you ever heard of Dr. Giggles?
I have not.
Dr. Giggles, it's played by Larry Drake, who was on L.A. Law, right?
Yep.
He plays Dr. Evan Rendell. He is a psychopath who escapes from a mental institution to seek revenge on the town that caught his murdering father. Like father, like son, I guess. The murders all have a surgical element to them. As he murders his victims, Dr. Giggle lets out a creepy, high-pitched giggle. You know what they put on this? You know what they put on this list? And I'm going to be a little angry because it's the T-shirt I'm wearing right now. They put on the list as the sixth worst Halloween movie ever made, scary movie ever made, is Halloween 3: Season of the Witch. That's an absolute wrong. Now I'm going to read this and I'll see what it says. This is the woman who wrote this. Her name is Anne Marie Bowen, and she thinks Halloween 3: Season of the Witch is one of the worst horror movies ever made. And that is emphatically, that is wrong. Says, I love Halloween movies, all of them except for this one. Well, now, hold on a minute. You like the other Halloween sequels? You like Halloween 4 and 5 and 6? You like Resurrection? Michael Myers is an iconic horror villain who has no role in this movie whatsoever. So, why is it part of the series? Your guess is as good as mine. This movie stinks on so many levels. It's called Season of the Witch, but there is no witch. The movie is about a company called Silver Shamrock that sells Halloween masks. It doesn't even make sense, but very little of this movie does. The head of the company has a sinister plot to kill thousands of kids with cursed Halloween masks. By the way, the villain, the crazy villain in the movie is named Cochran, and I don't think that's coincidental. Some say this movie is underrated because it's the only movie in the Halloween series with Michael Myers not in it, but I disagree. I dislike it for many reasons, more than that. Maybe the movie would have been as bad in my mind if they had called it something else and kept it out of the Halloween series. But then again, no, it's still terrible. No, you're wrong. Halloween 3, Season of the Witch rules. What else is on here? Oh, man. Hood of Horror with Snoop Dogg. Dan, this is a pretty legendary one. You know, hang out in the Hood of Horror with Snoop. House of the Dead. That's based on the video game from the legendary director Uwe Boll. We all know Uwe Boll. Made a ton of movies based on video games, all horrible. The remake of House of Wax from 2005, but it does feature Paris Hilton getting killed. They also say that Jason X is one of the worst horror movies. I thought that movie was very entertaining. Actually, it was terrible, but it's Jason in space, and I always thought I loved that idea. I love the idea of sending Jason up to space. And you know, and Jason Takes Manhattan, Dan, as you know, about 5 minutes of it takes place in Manhattan. The rest of it takes place on a boat. But you're not going to call it Jason on a boat. That's not going to get people out there. I'm not kidding when I say, like, it is like literally only the last 10 minutes of the movie takes place in Manhattan. The rest of it is on a boat. They put all of the Leprechaun movies on here. Not even, even Leprechaun in the Hood? Come on, man. Monster A-Go-Go from 1965. Yeah, that's pretty bad. Orgy of the Dead from 1965. Boy, the year of my birth was not a good year for horror movies, judging by this. Paranormal Activity. Ooh, somebody else hates that movie from 2007. I don't think... Wow, that's pretty cool. Somebody. Now, okay, I agree with you on this. We disagree, Miss, on your assessment of Halloween 3 Season of the Witch, which is a great movie. But I agree with you on Paranormal Activity. That movie, I thought that movie was boring. But it was, I mean, it made a ton of money. They keep making new ones. And it unfortunately, rejuvenated the whole found footage thing. I just was like, I didn't think it was scary at all. Plan 9 from Outer Space, well, that's an easy target, you know, but it is a terrible movie. Psycho, the remake. Let me just specify, it's the Gus Van Sant shot-for-shot remake, which is one of the worst ideas in the history of film. I mean, who thought it would be a good idea? Who okayed that? That's what I want to know, and I bet that person got fired from Universal. And it really is, it's a horrendous movie, if you've ever sat through the stupid remake. I mean, one of the most unnecessary movies, perhaps the most unnecessary movie ever made. That's it, really is. It's the most unnecessary movie ever made. So, all right, let's take a break. We got more terrible movies to talk about and some Halloween TV as well. It's the Spooktacular on 720 WGN. From the original version of The Thing, classic movie, although Carpenter's version's better. And I do think a lot of people believe that. They didn't believe it in 1982 when no one went to see it. Again, it's Halloween, and I want to say that you can pretty much not go wrong with any John Carpenter movie. If you just look up John Carpenter, any of those titles are appropriate, and 95% of them are really great. You got The Thing. You got They Live. You've got Halloween. You've got The Fog. Escape from New York's not a horror movie, but, you know, watch it anyway. you've got Prince of Darkness, which is one of his... That's actually... Prince of Darkness is one of his scariest movies. Again, another underrated John Carpenter movie. That's a really creepy movie. If you've not seen Prince of Darkness, you should. Ghost of Mars, I enjoy that movie. The Ward. Yeah, I mean, he's, you know... Looking at Christine. So... Anyway, that's you put John Carpenter's name on anything, and it's good as far as I'm concerned. Now we're talking bad horror movies. How about Troll? Oh, Troll and Troll 2. They made a second Troll. Them bad. Zombie Strippers. You ever see Zombie Strippers, Dan?
Can't say that I have.
I know that you don't watch a lot of... I don't know that you watch it. I know that you don't watch a lot of...
try to avoid both at this point in my life.
Yeah. Well, Zombie Strippers stars porn star Jenna Jameson and Robert Englund, who I hope they paid handsomely. It is a terrible... Well, I don't... It's called Zombie Strippers. There's the porn star is the... A porn star is the star. Like, that's a shocking that it's not good? And then, you know, I liked when Gremlins came out, you know, the stuff like Troll came out. And then, of course, Ghoulies. Have you seen Ghoulies, Dan? You have not seen Ghoulies.
I have not.
Yeah. It's great when a movie becomes a hit and then you get to see like 50,000 ripoffs of it. And I'll tell you something, the genre that has the most of that is horror. Like if a horror movie or a genre movie makes a bunch of money, you're going to see 27 of those kind of movies. We've talked about this before. In 1975, when Jaws came out and became the unbelievably huge worldwide hit that it was, there was nothing but Nature Strikes Back movies after that. It was just animals attacking humans over and over again, whether it be on the water or in the land. And again, if you want to see one of the most ridiculous ones, I highly recommend checking out Day of the Animals. Because Day of the Animals is part of the whole Jaws ripoff creature animals attack genre that became so popular in the 70s. But the Day of the Animals is set apart because it features a shirtless Leslie Nielsen fighting a giant grizzly bear. And that's pretty special. Let me just say, you're a fan of Police Squad, you're a fan of the Naked Gun movies, an Airplane. Picture Leslie Nielsen, and this is not played for laughs, by the way. This is Day of the Animals. This is supposed to be a serious, scary Nature Strikes Back movie. So they've got Leslie Nielsen shirtless, you know, fighting a grizzly bear. It's pretty great. Pretty great. You know, Dan, you know, there was a time when Leslie Nielsen, the path of his career was straight leading man. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You can't even watch those movies anymore. Like the early movies with Leslie Nielsen, you ever watch The Poseidon Adventure?
No, I haven't seen it.
He's the captain of the Poseidon Adventure is about a boat that in a horrible storm, tidal wave flips it upside down on New Year's Eve, and then a group of people who have survived the flight try to climb up to the bottom of the boat because it's upside down. It's now upside this big, and it's not just a boat, it's a giant cruise ship. And led by Gene Hackman, they try to get out of it. That's what the movie's about. Leslie Nielsen plays the captain of the Poseidon. It is, and he's got this great look because when the wave hits the ship, they cut to Leslie Nielsen's face. Oh! It's just this classic moment. Leslie Nielsen with a stupid captain's hat on. You can't take it seriously. You know, I mean, that's that second half of his career. When Airplane was released, it was all over. Like, you can't... And here's the other thing. The Naked Gun movie came out by the same year as this movie called Nuts. Are you familiar with the movie Nuts with Barbara Streisand and Richard Dreyfuss?
No.
Barbara Streisand is on trial for killing someone, and she's in the pretrial to see that if she is sane enough to actually go on trial. So that's what the movie's about. They're keeping her in a facility. They're watching her 24 hours. They're drugging her and everything. And Dreyfuss plays her attorney to make sure that she is actually, like, to prove that she's actually sane. And they're trying to prove that she's insane. She plays a high-class call girl who kills Leslie Nielsen. And Leslie Nielsen is in the movie, and this came out, like, right the same year as the Naked Gun, the first Naked Gun movie. And in it, Leslie Nielsen plays one of her Johns. And he's an abusive jerk who at one point assaults her while he's in his Speedos, and then she ends up stabbing him with a broken mirror, with a shard from a broken mirror, and she kills Leslie Nielsen. But it's not, and he's abusive, he slaps her around, he's a maniac, and most of his scene that he's in the movie, he's in like a one long scene, he's in Speedos. And I remember going to the screening of the movie. Roy Leonard was sitting right next to me. I remember going to the screening of the movie. Everybody in the theater was laughing. And he was doing and saying horrible things. You know, I mean, he was smacking Barbra Streisand around, and he was being very abusive. But it was just, because it was Leslie Nielsen in his Speedos, and everybody in that theater had seen Naked Gun and Airplane, gone. Roy and I were laughing our asses off. We like, that can't... And it's an otherwise good movie, actually. Like, Nuts is a really good movie. Barbra Streisand is terrific in that movie. Dreyfuss is great. James Whitmore's in it. Carl Malden. It's a good movie based on a great stage play. But just, I don't know who thought it was a good idea to cast Leslie Nielsen as a Speedo-wearing psychopath. I don't... Makes for a very entertaining scene to watch, though, I have to say. It takes you completely out of what was otherwise a very good film. But, man, it's so funny watching Leslie Nielsen be a maniac in his Speedos. I kept waiting for him to say, Shirley, you can't be. I am serious, and don't call me Shirley. 224 area code says, bad horror movie is The Stuff. You know what The Stuff is about, Dan?
No.
Killer yogurt.
Oh, well.
Like, it's like a yogurt type substance that comes out and sucks your brains out and stuff.
Had it been left out for a while, or
was no? Just, it's just it was manufactured. I think, if I remember correctly, I've seen The Stuff a few times actually, because I think it's a very entertaining movie, made by the great Larry Cohen, who made the Killer Baby movie, It's Alive. But Paul Sorvino's in it, in The Stuff. Michael Moriarty's in it. It's basically about killer yogurt, and that killer, you eat it and it makes you sick and you die. It's yogurt that attacks you and like takes your skin off and stuff. That's when. It says, I love your Halloween show, Nick, and I love and your love of the holiday and horror movies. Well, thank you. I do. I love Halloween. I love horror movies. 815 area code says, House of 1,000 Corpses was not scary. No, Rob Zombie's never made a good movie. And you want to talk about, unnecessary sort of reboots and remakes. His two Halloween movies are horrendous. Like, horrendous. His original Halloween, reboot is just as bad, I think, as Gus Van Zandt's shot-for-shot remake of Psycho. And you see, when I first heard about Suspiria, I thought, oh, man, that was Rob Zombie all over again. And I mentioned the Rob Zombie when I interviewed John Carpenter. I've interviewed John Carpenter a couple of times. I did his Q&A at the Flashback Convention. And I mentioned how much I hated the Rob Zombie reboot. He's like, hey, they paid me. I'm like, okay. House of 1,000 Corpses, horrible. He's made some of the worst movies. I mean, some of the worst movies ever made. The what was it? The Devil's Rejects? Awful. The two Halloween movies, Lords of Salem. He did a movie called 32. All of his movies are awful, like offensively, terribly bad. Oh, here's a good one. 847 area code says Rubber. Do you know what Rubber? Well, because you this is real. It's not a joke, Dan. This is a real movie.
No, they sometimes show it on like Showtime.
Yeah, it's called Rubber. It's the story of a tire with psychokinetic powers that rolls around the southern U.S. causing people's heads to explode. And then the texter says, "I'm not kidding. I know. I've seen it. I know that's real." 630 area code, Nightbreed, Vamp, and Dead Calm. Now, I would hope that those are on the good side. Vamp, Nightbreed and Dead Calm are both good, so I hope that they like those movies. 262 area code, you might want to look up local Racine man Jason Paul Cullum. Met him several times, been to Flashback. He's made several low-budget horror movies. His Safe Inside was filmed almost exclusively in his home. Yeah, I know, I met him. Chris says, Leprechaun is terrible. 301 area code says, Bride of the Monster. Oh, yeah, Bride of the Monster is a terrible movie. Giant from the Unknown and Attack of the 50-Foot Woman. Dan, did you know they remade Attack of the 50-Foot Woman with Daryl Hannah?
I do remember seeing the poster for that.
Oh, man. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about, do you like Halloween-themed episodes of TV? Because we have the best Halloween-themed episodes from TV shows. And, just about 45 minutes ago, they were showing an episode of Friends. Sean Penn was on that episode. I had noticed. And so what are some of those Halloween-themed TV shows that you enjoyed? 312-981-7200 of episodes of TV. And again, Dan, people are freaking out right now. Just play this theme and people start freaking out. By the way, I'm catching a glimpse of Joe trying on his octopus costume. It looks like an octopus costume, and from the and he's trying it. Yeah, that's pretty funny. So I don't know if that's going to be a theme or what. But yes, he's going to.
I saw some mermaids costumes.
So it's a sea theme?
Under the sea theme.
Under the sea.
I'd imagine Steve Cochran is King Triton, but that's just a guess.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's coming up. Make sure you listen to the Steve Cochran Show, which is coming up at 6 o'clock. And Steve Grzanich has the opening bell coming up after this show. All right, so let's talk about, and also coming up are those stories that matter with Vic Vaughn from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Okay, so How I Met Your Mother, we talked about this one, The Slutty Pumpkin. Dan, you've seen this one. What makes this one fun?
It ties into the lore of the show that, you know, he had met a girl at a Halloween party and she was wearing a pumpkin costume and he was hanging Chad because it was the year of the election.
Oh, right.
And it was, you know, he wore the same costume every year from then on, hoping the girl would come back to the party and recognize him. And eventually she did. And they didn't. She's not the mother, but it was.
Oh, it was just a different girl.
It was a different girl. But it was one of those things where, oh, this girl could be your mother.
Okay. This one next here on the list I just saw, or at least I didn't watch. I mean, here is the sound, but Friends, the one with the Halloween party, who can forget Chandler's pink bunny costume, a la The Christmas Story, or Ross's potato, or sorry, Spudnik outfit. And yeah, Sean Penn was in the episode too. All these things, plus Rachel freaking out about her maternal instincts, put this episode into Halloween history books. Brooklyn 99, Halloween 3. Of all of Brooklyn Nine-Nine's Halloween-themed episodes, an office poll brought the third incarnation to the top. In the 99th Precinct's third annual Halloween heist, the teams shake things up by looking for the same object for bragging rights and the title of Amazing Detective / Genius. When is Brooklyn Nine-Nine coming back? Right? Because NBC picked it up? No. Fox picked it up, right? No, it was on Fox.
Yeah,
NBC picked it up.
Yep.
What? Come on. What the hell? I'm just realizing. I want my Brooklyn Nine-Nine back. I was very upset when I was told that it was canceled, and then I was very happy 3 hours later when it was picked up again by NBC. But I'd like to see some new episodes. All right. The Office Halloween. Though The Office had several Halloween themed episodes throughout its 9 seasons, the 5th episode of season 2. Was the first that remains a standout. Michael had chose one person to lay off, and Jim and Pam try to get Dwight hired somewhere else. Community Epidemiology, a zombie outbreak set to an endless loop of ABBA's greatest hits is all we need to say. Oh, God, I remember that one. Oh, I totally remember that episode. That was a great episode. That was a great episode. That was a great show. So, It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Who got D pregnant is the title. By the way, this season of Sunny, a new episode's on tonight, has been great. I love that show, and it's been on a long time, man. This show's been on. What are we talking about here? Like 12 years or something like that, maybe?
Yeah, probably.
But this season is strong, man. It's really, really funny. Things got really scary for the boys at Patty's Pub when they found out Dee was pregnant and suspect one of them could be the father. Tonight's episode of South Park, all new again, in its 21st season, I think. It's a Halloween episode. Like, they run out of candy and they run out of candy in South Park and everybody goes nuts. That's at least what it looks like from the commercial that I saw. Okay, how about the Halloween episode from Buffy? Do you know that one, Dan?
I do. There were several ones, but this one was the best one because the characters they dressed up as, they became. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah, Buffy was a Victorian princess and so lost all her ability to fight. And the geeky guy happened to dress up as a soldier, so he was able to, you know.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Command the troops and things like that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was fun.
Glee, Rocky Horror Glee Show. Yeah, you know, Dan, is it, I've said this before. I watched that show way too, way past its due date. I still watch that show. People were asking me, why are you still watching Glee? And I'm like, I don't know. I still like it. I don't know. Oh, there's Mary. Hold on a second. Hi, Mary.
I love Glee.
I did, too.
I remember the Rocky Horror one.
I do, too. That was what we were talking about. But by the way, I saw you walking down the hall. What T-shirt? What are you wearing?
I have a T-shirt on that says, I got your back. And it's two skeletons, and the one skeleton is holding the backbone of the other skeleton. And this is funny, Nick. So my husband bought me this shirt at Walmart.
Uh-huh.
And we have to wear weird costumes this morning.
Yes.
I'm not divulging those. I just saw them in Cochran's office. Oh, my gosh.
I know.
Anyway, I'm avoiding putting it on for a while. So I have this shirt, and it glows in the dark. So I walk down the stairs. I always get dressed. You know, I walk down the stairs in the dark.
Yeah.
I don't want to wake anybody up.
Yep.
So I came down my stairs, and there's a mirror at the bottom of my stairs. Scared the crap out of myself.
You know what? I did that too, Mary, because I have two Svengoolie shirts, two different Svengoolie shirts, and they both glow in the dark.
Oh my gosh. Well, I didn't know it glowed in the dark.
So, yeah.
You know, and it's, you know.
And it's basically Rich Coase's face scared the crap out of me because I went to the bathroom in the middle of the night. I went to the bathroom, or no, I had the lights on and I went to bed. And I went into my bedroom, and the lights are off in the bedroom, and they were on in the living room when I had the shirt on, and I walk in, I went, ah! And it was Rich.
That's exactly what I did, too.
Yeah, that's funny.
With these two skeletons. You know, it's a $5 shirt from Walmart.
Right.
But man, it
right.
sure works.
That's funny, though.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. And you know, you got to love a punny shirt.
I do.
That's you got
to
love
that. Yeah, so thank you to my husband, Steve, for buying me this funny shirt. I wish I could wear this instead of putting on what I have to put on.
Yeah, I saw the costumes, too, because you can see, you know, because our office is here at 303 they're glass. You can see in. You can see inside them. So I saw what was in Justin's office.
Oh.
And I saw what was inside of Cochran's office. And it's going to be a pretty interesting morning. That's all I'm saying.
It's going to be tough to sit down. Let me just tell you that.
All right. Mary, thanks. Happy Halloween.
I won't be going to the bathroom all morning.
No. You got to hold it for the entire 4-hour show.
Happy Halloween.
Okay. There you go. All right. That's Mary. She's coming up with the rest of the Cochran gang. They're going to be in crazy costumes for Halloween. You can check it out on the streaming at WGNRadio.com. If you want to see what they look like, that's going to be fun. All right, we're just about out of here. The news is coming up next tomorrow. If you have any sports memorabilia and you're wondering how much it's worth, Michael Osaki is going to join us. So if you got baseball cards or sports memorabilia or autographs and you want to know how much it's worth, he'll help you out. He's an expert in that department. And we're starting. I just want to mention this. We're starting a half an hour early tomorrow. We have a longer show tomorrow because we're following. We're going to just come on right after Hawks post game. It's a late Hawks game tonight. So we'll follow that, and we're starting at 12:30 instead of 1 with sports memorabilia expert Michael Osaki. Okay, the news is up next.